across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Wow. Hey, we're on. We're live. Hello, everybody. It's Talk Radio. It's Jamie East here. I am in for Ian Lee. Annoyingly, the first time on Talk Radio, I'm now in for award-winning Ian Lee, as if the pressure wasn't enough. Ian won his award, everybody. Ian is up in Leeds, along with a fair few people from the Talk Radio team. And he was up for, what was it, best non-music thingy? Non-breakfast talk. And he won. He beat Jeremy Vine into a cocked hat. He's, I think we're going to try and get hold of him a bit, aren't we? Is he's not drinking anymore, so he'll be compos mentis. So congratulations to him. And hello, everybody. If you were expecting Ian, I'm really sorry, I am not him. I'm Jamie East. I'm from the sister station downstairs, from Virgin. I've been brought up here just to cover whilst he kind of shindigs his way through Leeds, works his way through Leeds. He's back tomorrow, though, right? He's back tomorrow. So hello, you won't have a clue who the hell I am, and I haven't got a clue who the hell you are either. But we'll get through it. It's only 3 hours. What's 3 hours between strangers? I've spent longer with strangers before and ended up very happy at the end of it. You can call me if you like, anytime you want. If you're one of the regular callers from Ian that calls into the Ian show, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't turn your back on me. Don't shun me. We'll get together just fine. It's 03444991000, and we will call you back. That's in big capital letters on one of the many pieces of paper I've got in front of me. 03444991000. You can, of course, text the word talk and then your message to 87222. Text costs 25 pence plus your network rate. Or if you're a bit of a tight arse, just tweet us at Talk Radio, because that is absolutely free. And we've got loads of people coming on today. I feel as though I've front-loaded the show quite heavily. I panicked because I'm so used to playing records. Downstairs at Virgin, we're lucky if we get 35 seconds tops. Here, 6 minutes first link. Goodness me, that's 2 days worth of Virgin Radio links. But I've front-loaded it. We've got some cool people coming in. Paul Dunan. I mean, if you're going to go hard, you go hard or go home. You start strong and you start as you mean to go on. So Paul Dunan is coming on. He seems to be bringing someone with him. I'm not entirely sure who he's bringing him. MC1DT? Does that mean anyone to... anyone? No, I mean, he's just tweeted that he's bringing him in. I mean, I'm happy to have him. I'm happy to have him. It's an open house here. He's the guy that sang Loving It, Loving It, Loving It. Hang on a sec, I've got this. Let's test this out and see if this works. Is this going to work? Let's try this out. Hold on a sec, let's turn. We're just testing things out. I've only just started. I only just sat down. James Well is still lingering. Is this going to work? That is MC1DT. He is coming in with Paul Dunan for reasons completely unknown to me. Before then, I'm going to be speaking to the delightful and handsome Rick Edwards. You know him, the TV presenter, the podcaster, the science author. He's written a great book called Science-ish, The Peculiar Science Behind the Movies. He's going to be coming on and having a chat. Just about that, it's quite a cool book because I'm a bit of a film buff. I'm a film critic for The Sun as well, so on times when I'm not on the radio downstairs or on here, I'm usually stuck in a film, watching a film. And there's been a lot of good ones to talk about lately. Oscar season or award season is looming in kind of February, January, February times when it all kicks off. So you get all the crap movies from kind of April to September. And now we're into the good ones where they're trying to curry favour a little bit. So there's a lot of good ones. So I'm dead chuffed. We've got Jason Isaacs. I interviewed Jason Isaacs, who is in Death for Stalin. The Death of Stalin, which comes out tomorrow. The Amando Iannucci film all about, guess what, the death of Stalin. So I'm going to chat about him. And, where have I written it down? I'm going to have to pronounce his name again. I did an interview with him earlier on, just before I came here. And I couldn't remember his name, so I didn't mention his name in the interview, which is something that happens to me quite a lot. Taiki Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok. He was really, really cool. He's not only the director, he's also in it. So we're going to be talking about that as well. I'm going to put on Periscope, which Ian does. I do it as well downstairs at Virgin. So I'm going to do it here as well. Feel free to join in if you're one of Ian's regulars. Just pop in. You know, we won't bite. I've got my own set of... is it a posse? No, posse's a bit Steve Wright, isn't it? What does Ian call his... does he call them anything printable or broadcastable? Just no, fine. Just very, very sharp shake of the head through the glass there. So just a group of Lees. What is a group of Ians? We need a word for a group. What would mine be? Mine are the Eastettes. I've just named them. The Lee something or other. So come and join forces on Periscopes. On the old Periscope, as well as Rick, and as well as Paul Denant, and as well as Jason Isaacs, and as well as Tiki, we've got some talking points as well, as ever. It's 3 hours. Nick Knowles is on the agenda. When is Nick Knowles never on the agenda? We want to talk about debt. Has no one else really talked about Melania Trump either? I'm obsessed with fake Melania Trump. So we're going to be talking about that. Is she a fembot? What is going on there? Because if she does have a body double, she's one of many. So we've got loads of things to talk about. We're also, there's a man who handed himself into the police because someone gave him 1,000 likes on Twitter. But importantly, it's the Arias tonight, which are the kind of, it's the radio Oscars. Well, they call it the radio Oscars. It's more like the radio NTAs, isn't it? It's more like the Radio Reality TV Awards. It's up in Leeds this year. We, the Virgin and Talk Radio... I said Virgin. I'm going to be doing that a lot. Hold on a second. Oh, God, that's a bit loud. Turn the trombone down. We need less trombone. That was my issue. Every time I say Virgin or give out the Virgin number, I'm going to get a slap on the wrists. But it is the Arias up in Leeds. We already know Ian Lee's a winner. We have a mole on the inside. Is it the after party? It's already over now. So it's the after party. The wine and the beer is flowing. And on the line I have Cornelius Mendes. Hey, fella.
Hello.
Well, how are you? What?
Can you hear Busted?
I can't hear anything. I can hear a band. Is that Busted playing? Wow, okay. How long have you been drinking, Cornelius? How long have you been drinking? You don't know. Okay, fine. No, describe the scene.
Busted are playing.
Yes, you said that, but that's a noise. That's not the scene.
I can't hear a word you're saying.
This is going so well. Is it like, I'm just looking, is it like this for 3 hours? It's generally like this for 3 hours. Perfect. I'll tell you what. It's going to be the longest.
I got 1 3 minute.
I know Ian Lee's one aboard. I'm not going to be able to talk to him. It's too loud. Is he there now?
Yeah, I'm asking you to.
Please do. He won't be able to hear you. Good grief.
Hello!
Congratulations, Ian Lee. Well done.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
You've joined us
while Busted are playing their hit single, Air Hostess.
And it's one of their better ones, too.
I'm hoping they do the song about time travel and sex with their own granddaughter.
That's my
favourite.
You never know. How are you feeling?
Very, very high. Not on drugs, Jamie.
No, heaven forbid.
On vibe. There's a strong vibe here.
Is there?
Me and Kath won an award. Can you believe it for this rubbish?
That is fantastic. Well, it's not rubbish. It's well deserved.
We sent them £50, mate. That's how these things work. I've been doing it wrong the last 20 years. Hey, listen, genuinely, we're thrilled, and I got to present an award to Christian O'Connell, who is one of my favourites, so that was a joy.
Yeah, he beat Chris Evans, so congratulations to that. That's a big...
He did. I love Christian O'Connell. I think he's brilliant, and he's... It was, genuinely very humbling to present him an award.
Oh, fantastic.
The Fratellis play, but they didn't do the song about the Chelsea knife.
So how can the Fratellis not play and not do that? La, la, la.
Mate, it was a very, very disappointing thing. But then a band called Big Moon played, and they were excellent.
Big Moon?
Big Moon!
Wow, okay. What were they like? They sound acid jazz to me.
Listen, that you are now stepping on an award-winning radio show.
I know.
Don't mess this up, man. This is a big gig. This could be a break for you.
Ian,
please,
for goodness sake.
Don't ruin it for me.
I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to bring it all crashing down.
Oh, have fun, man. It's fun. It's just loads of weirdos and nut jobs phoning up. You'll enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad Con was my first one.
And say hello to Paulie Dunan. He's coming on my show soon. I love Paul Dunan. He's one of... he's like a big, lovable Labrador puppy.
He is. He's one of my favourite people, too. He's kind of... He's the, one of the most genuine people I've ever met.
Oh, he makes me laugh so much. I just think he's a joy. So have fun. I'm going to hand you back to Con.
Take care, Ian. Congratulations. Well done. Con, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. I can hear you now.
Hello. Am I still on air?
You are still on air. You are still on air. So,
Hello.
Any gossip?
Anyone? How's the show going, Jamie?
It's going well so far. Give me some gossip. Has anyone got off with anyone?
I can't hear a word you're saying.
Just keep talking, mate, because I've got to.
Are you getting any calls? 03444991000.
We have got a call as well. I've got a call from Sarah from Sevenoaks. I can't.
John
I'm
Holmes didn't win.
John Holmes
wasn't allowed to enter.
He wasn't allowed.
It stopped him from entering.
Is that because of all the times he talks about you getting off with your mum?
I don't know what you're saying, Jamie.
Fine. Okay. Listen, I'm going to call you in a bit. Okay. I'll call you at the after party.
I don't know what's happening. Matt Willis from Boston is in the crowd now, waving a bass around like, don't say that.
Con, just
I
go.
Won't say that. Not after what Corden did.
No, exactly.
Jamie,
no.
I'm going to hang up on you now.
Yes, you do that and go and give.
I'm playing some new stuff, and that's why we all came here.
Fine. go and give Matt a kiss. I'll speak to you at the after party. Yes? He's gone. Should we speak? Is Sarah there or is she gone? She's on hold. Let's speak to Sarah. We need to go to ads shortly. How long do we need to go to ads? Oh, okay, fine. Well, I can get Sarah on for 3 minutes. That's fine. Sarah, you are my first proper caller, Sarah. And all it says here is that you're from Sevenoaks and you don't know anything about me. I don't know anything about you either. What? Go on. Are you there? Is she there? This is it. There's murmurings going on through the glass. Is she going to go? No, she's hung up. No, she is there. Sarah.
Hiya.
Hey, how are you? So you don't know anything about me. I don't know anything about you either.
Oh, mystery. Mystery.
It is.
I just wanted to write in. My head's all over the place tonight. Nick Knowles.
Yes.
Right. Who did a programme? Was it City Hospital or something to do with hospitals early in the morning?
There is nothing that hasn't been touched by Nick Knowles' magic. City Hospital, I believe, was one of them too.
Well, I was on City Hospital once.
You are kidding. What, as a nurse or a patient?
Oh, I wish I was a nurse. Like a patient. I'd had, like, loads of surgery and stuff. And
oh, dear.
No, it's good. I was born with a cleft palate, and they fixed me, as it were. So it's fantastic.
So you were in surgery, were you in recovery when Nick Knowles appeared in the ward?
Well, this is a problem, and I've got to get this off my chest. No, I was absolutely fine. I only came in to be interviewed to the hospital. I wasn't having surgery at the time. He didn't interview me.
You are joking.
I'm not. And this has bugged me. I was about 19. I'm 32 now, and I still haven't got over it.
Well,
so if Knowles is listening, shame on you.
Well, I doubt he is, because he's busy with his album. I mean, have you heard him singing?
Yes.
Check this out.
When the rain is blowing in your face.
That's Nick Knowles.
And the whole world is on your case.
Sarah.
I could offer you a warm embrace. To make you feel my love.
Sarah, imagine if you were in the ward on stirrups.
Recovering, high on morphine. I could listen to it if I was high on morphine.
Oh, OK. Well, you know, that's all the best. A lot of the best music was written on drugs. Have I got to go to adverts now? Or Sarah, can I call you? I'm going to talk about Nick Knowles in a bit. Can we call you back? Or are you going to bed?
Oh, I'm going to brush my teeth. So, yeah, call me back in a bit.
OK, we'll do that. Thank you, Sarah. You're my first proper caller and you were lovely. You don't need to answer that. That's fine. Cheers. Are we going to ads now? It's the short read now. I've got... Guys, you're going to have to bear with me tonight, OK? I'm doing a short live read now, because this is the Late Night Alternative with Jamie East for Ian Lee on Talk Radio with Time to Change.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm back. Wow, OK, hello, it's Jamie East. I am in for Ian Lee for one night only on Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. If you're one of Ian's regulars, do join in the fun. You can call in, you can text, and you just get stuck in. I believe the number is 03444991000. We will call you back. Calls are charged at your local rate. You can text 87222 with the word talk at first and tweet. It's free. It's just Talk Radio. I'm on Periscope now. A few people are tweeting in, asking where... the Periscope is. It's not on Ian's usual address. It's on periscope.tv/Jamie East. That is me. And hello to all. Oh, there's lots of people coming. Oh, this is nice. This is lovely. I thought I'd get some familiar friends and familiar faces, or familiar voices rather, on the show. One of my good mates is here. He's written a book. Annoyingly, you know when you meet someone and they're handsome, intelligent, and just... they just do it, you know. It just gets... I've got two mates. I've got Matt Edmondson, who I gave a job to, who now is basically he may as well have his bowel movements commissioned. And I've got Rick Edwards as well, who's a very good friend of mine, who's written this awesome book called Science-ish, The Peculiar Science Behind the Movies. And I hope to God Rick's on the other end of the line, because I've got a lot of time to fill otherwise. Hello, Rick.
Hello, mate.
Oh, thank God for
that. Your prayers are answered. I'm here.
Hello! How are you doing?
Very kind introduction.
That was
almost too much.
It was almost too much. Well, I was going to go on to your knitwear as well. You know, no one wears knits like Rick Edwards. No? Okay, fine. Rick, tell me about Science-ish. Where did the idea come from? Was it from a podcast?
Okay, you're breaking up a bit.
Am I?
It's me that's breaking. You are. Hang on a minute. Just try saying something.
Come out of the cellar. Come out of the cellar. Hello?
I really like it down here in the cellar.
Is that any better?
Yes, that's good. I'm back in.
You're back in the room. Okay. Now, science-ish, tell me about it, because you have a science degree. You're a clever fella. You are not just the Made in Chelsea guy. You do think about things as well.
I will occasionally, if the opportunity arises, I will think about stuff. I do have a science degree. I haven't used it for many, many years, and then a couple of years ago, I started doing a podcast about science with my friend, who is a proper scientist, Dr. Michael Brooks, who's got a PhD in quantum physics, you know, serious guy.
Right, yes.
And so we've been doing that for a couple of years, and then we thought, I reckon we might be able to turn this into a book. And so that's what we've done. And the idea of the book is each chapter looks at a film and then asks science questions that the film raises. And because it's quite a good way in of talking about quite sort of high level interesting science that's going on at the moment, but through an accessible route where people are like, oh yeah, films. I know films.
Exactly.
Films.
It's a good way of getting the kids talking about it, isn't it? The millennials. He's gone. He disappeared from the phone. That's absolutely fine. We're just going to try and get Rick back in a second. Shall I just have it? I'm just going to have a chin whack. I'll tell you about all the other topics. If you're listening, whilst we try and get Rick back, we've got a whole plethora of things to talk about. Rick's back again.
Are you am here.
You're there. I don't know what happened then.
I was there the whole time as well. So I'm just sort of going, oh dear, he can't hear me now.
No, I think they're just testing me. This is like they're going to send me to the shop in a minute for some tartan paint. It is a way of drawing in the millennials into science. For instance, take me through The Martian, because that was a cool film with Matt Damon. He scienced the S out of it.
He really did, didn't he?
So, how many films did you go through and realise that actually some of them are so hooky that there's no point in even writing about it, because they're so stupid?
Well, I mean, there's quite a few that are... the interesting thing, so the film that sticks in my mind as being probably the worst in terms of the actual science is The Day After Tomorrow, the sort of the Jake Gyllenhaal climate change disaster movie. which is, I mean, you know, the science really doesn't stand up. However, it interestingly had the biggest effect on public perception of climate change in America of any piece of media.
That didn't surprise America, you, surely.
Not really, but like, apparently Americans, before they watched The Day After Tomorrow, pretty much just thought, well, climate change doesn't exist. And yeah. Then they watched the film and they were like, oh no, climate change looks awful.
Day After Tomorrow, that was the one where the world froze in like in about half a second, wasn't it? And then the only thing to survive were wolves.
Yeah, be fair to them. It froze in about 2 seconds.
True.
But yeah, yes, the science is not great, but it did have a weirdly positive effect on the sort of attitudes of Americans to climate change. So even films that are, a little bit suspect, still kind of can do quite good things in terms of like opening up science conversations. Well, now we have done a podcast about The Day After Tomorrow. We didn't put it in the book. Because we only had 10 films, so only 10 films.
Well, you chose some humdingers, didn't you? You chose the humdingers.
Well, I tried to. You got to open big, haven't you? Give them what they want.
It's all right.
Jurassic Parks and so on.
Take me through Interstellar.
Yes, now Interstellar is...
Because I liked it. Did you like Interstellar the film? Because I loved it.
I did and I didn't. I thought some of it was absolutely like incredible. I thought visually, I thought some of the ideas were amazing, and then I thought some of the sort of stuff with the like love transcending everything was a bit.
But it does, you know, Rick. It does.
Wasn't it. But I mean, you're famously an eternal optimist and a very positive man, Jamie. But I wasn't convinced by that part. But the science of it, like the original script was written by this guy called Kip Thorne, who's an astrophysicist, one of the most preeminent astrophysicists.
Yeah.
Who kind of looks at black holes. And there was even a science paper written and published in a peer-reviewed journal off the back of Interstellar, because the science is so strong. And I think that's the only film that's ever happened with, where genuine science has been generated by a film, effectively, because they plugged in all of the actual equations for like black hole equations to find what it would look like to get to their VFX guys, their video guys. And they did it so well that when the scientists looked back at it, They were kind of like, wow, yes, that's kind of what we thought it would look like. And then they spotted a feature of it. And we're like, oh, what are these little bits? And the VFX guys obviously were like, we've got no idea.
But that's when it works, isn't it? When they reverse engineer from the science to the film, that's when it's best, right? Because The Martian was based on the book. It was basically...
Which was incredibly well researched. The book, The Martian, by, is it Andrew Weir? I don't know if I've got his name right there.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Yeah, yeah, some very clever man, and he really did research the S out of that book, and it's a fantastic book.
Look at us not swearing, and we're doing well.
We are doing. Are you allowed to swear?
No.
It's half.
Well, hang on. So one guy
half ten.
Well, one guy should just give me the thumbs up, and the producer was shaking her head. Let's not. Should we err on the side of caution?
Listen, I'm so happy not to. I think it's good to be clean of mouth occasionally, isn't it?
Exactly.
Good exercise for both of us.
Were there any ones that kind of really kind of surprised you when you started doing it, where you just thought we'll have a look into it, it's going to go nowhere, and then oh my god, I'm going to find that mosquito in amber.
Well, but, I mean, the one that is, I guess, the sort of headline news really is Jurassic Park, because you go into Jurassic Park thinking, I really hope I'm going to find out that actually, yes, it is going to be possible to bring dinosaurs back. And it just isn't, and it's very disappointing.
Why, though? How can we grow a mouse? How can we grow a human ear on a mouse's back and not have a velociraptor?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why, if you like.
Please do.
DNA just doesn't last very long. It just sort of, it breaks down. It's got a half-life of about 500 years, and we're talking about things that were alive 65 million years ago or more. So there's just not enough of their DNA left to make up a full genome. However, what we are doing, and it's not entirely clear why we're doing this, but we're bringing back woolly mammoths, and woolly mammoths is easy because, well, I say easy.
Hang on a sec, what? We are bringing back woolly mammoths?
We are going to bring back woolly mammoths, but the last woolly mammoth only died 4,000 years ago. So
really?
Their DNA is still... Yeah. I mean, most of them are gone by that point, obviously, but it wasn't their peak population 4,000 years ago, but that was the last...
I get confused between science and television, and I've just realised that I've been watching Fortitude.
Yes.
Carry on. You're the science guy, Rick.
Different thing, and you may have been thinking about... what's the Raquel Welch film? Well, there's Woolly Mammoth, and she's dressed in the loincloth.
10,000 BC.
Yeah, there's Woolly Mammoth in that, isn't there? And that's perfectly accurate. They would have been around then. But aside from mammoths, we're doing some stuff where birds are essentially dinosaurs. Just one sort of type of dinosaur. And there's an amazing thing you can go onto a popular search engine and look for de-feathered paleo swan.
Hold on. What?
Is
this the keyboard I use here? This awful one?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
Hold on a second.
De-feathered paleo swan.
De-feathered paleo swan. Hold on a second.
De-feathered.
Paleo, that's the...
P-A-L-E-O. swan.
Paleo swan. Right,
and then maybe drawing or sketch, and then just go to images, find an image.
I've ended up on a YouTube fight of a cockfight in the Philippines. Let's not click on that. Set the scene.
That's what I was aiming for. So it's what swans would look like if they were drawn by the people who draw dinosaurs, because the people who draw dinosaurs draw them much thinner than we think they would have been. So they just give them the bare amount of flesh.
Oh, because we don't know how flabby they were.
Yeah. We suspect they're a bit sort of fuller of figure than we tend to.
Maybe time will be kind to me.
Yes, possibly. People might be drawing
in millions of the years, they'll go, wow, you were so hench.
Yeah. but they also, they don't put feathers on them. So most, we think a lot of dinosaurs would have had feathers. And if you de-feather a swan and then sort of make it quite thin and scaly, it becomes the most terrifying dinosaur-looking like beast you've ever seen.
Oh, I see.
And the point is that birds are essentially dinosaurs, but they've obviously got beaks and so on. We can do some genetic tinkering, and we are doing with chickens, whereby you can alter the developmental stages of their beak, so they're gradually getting teeth and also more of a snout than a beak. So we've kind of got the engineering these kind of dino chickens.
Wow. We've already ventured into the partridge scene, Rick. They're scared. They don't know why they're so massive.
But my point is, all is not lost with the dinosaurs. We are sort of trying to reverse engineer, chickens that are a bit more dinosaur-like, which I thought you would presumably be pleased about.
I do like dinosaur-sized chickens. Now, where are you going with this book? Is there a sequel? Have you got any more films up your sleeve that you are yet to kind of finish looking into? Are you waiting for Interstellar 2?
No, I'm not waiting for Interstellar 2, but I've got loads of films up my sleeve. I think we could... I mean, you're always sort of slight eye on the prize.
Yeah.
If this book does well, and frankly, Jamie, who knows? I'm hoping it does. People seem to like it so far.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, there are, when you think about it, there are a lot of films. That's the great thing. So
there's
a lot of source material. Weird Science would be great. Actually, Weird Science is a really good idea. That's in book two. There's loads of films to put into a second book. And I think we'd probably... I mean, why not, really?
Why not,
indeed? If you've written one, you might as well bang out another one.
What about Inception? Have you thought about Inception?
We've done a podcast about Inception, and Inception was, I have to say, unlucky to miss out on being in the book. And we only didn't do Inception because we already had Interstellar. And we didn't want to do loads of Christopher Nolan.
I mean, he's got enough going on.
I think he sort of has. But yeah, for Inception, when we did the podcast, Michael tried to learn how to lucid dream, which I think he quite enjoyed, but also found quite weird because, predictably enough, the man who was teaching him was a bit of an oddball.
Yeah, issues. He had issues, didn't he?
Yes. I mean, I think they tend to. Not necessarily in a bad way, but they do tend to.
Did you, upon your travels, talk to any robot builders?
No, I didn't come across any robot builders. Well, have you had an experience of a robot builder?
Well, no, I mean scientists, really.
Oh, I thought, this is a pleasing misunderstanding. I thought you meant robots who come round and do building for you, which is a really great idea.
Well, one thing leads to another, doesn't it?
I mean, instead of employing a contractor, you just get a robot over and he just knocks up a wall in half a day.
In terms of ex machina, which makes it, have I said that right? I always say that word wrong. I always say machine.
No, you said that.
But it was Ex Machina, isn't it? Yeah.
It was Ex Machina, which is a brilliant film.
Yeah.
There's a very interesting thing. So, obviously, artificial intelligence is a hot topic at the moment, and everyone's kind of slightly fretting about whether artificial intelligence is going to get to a level whereby they're above our own intelligence, or whether they'll just kind of look at us and think, might be time to subjugate these guys.
Yeah.
To be honest, we're quite a long way off that. However,
well, we're still at the YouTube videos where you just see that bin lorry kind of smashing the bin against it, or the robot squeezing the ketchup everywhere. We're about at that stage now.
But have you seen the one where a scientist is playing catch with a robot, and the robot catches the guy throws the ball to him, the robot. The robot catches it. The guy is delighted and looks back at. Camera to sort of gurn like yes.
And it wangs him on the side of the head.
And then it absolutely wangs it back.
That's how it begins.
Yeah, it's really nice.
That's the prequel to Terminator that they haven't got around to doing yet.
Yeah, imagine if that was Arnie. Just I'm going to need your basketball. That's it.
but robots. I mean, it's heading that way, isn't it? Because there's a really good bit in the book where you're saying that films. We like to think of Hollywood as being dumb, but actually they're really smart. They're as far ahead in science as science is. They know exactly what's going to be coming in 5 years, and they're already
But not only that, but I think they're probably ahead of it a lot of the time. So a lot of scientists who work at NASA, who are like in the jet propulsion laboratories, and these guys are just thinking, right, how are we going to start moving around space more quickly? And so they're looking at basically Star Trek stuff, like warp drives. Like how do you create a drive that is going to allow you to travel faster than the speed of light? So breaking, you know, Einstein's theories of relativity and stuff, which is pretty big stuff. And they're all very open about looking at sci-fi for inspiration. And so they, you know, they all watch Star Trek and they all, you know, read sci-fi novels and stuff because, you know, these creative guys just have amazing imagination that then gives the scientists stuff to go, oh yeah, we could try that. And I think Hollywood is exactly the same. And there's lots of examples of, you know, Hollywood films that have been incredibly prescient about the situations we're ending up in. Gattaca came out that we do write about in the book, came out in 1997.
Great film.
Very badly received by the science community at the time because it sort of skewered what they were saying Then they were saying, right, we've unlocked the secrets to, you know, everything, human life through the Human Genome Project. And they were kind of fixated on this idea that actually your everything is dictated by your genes.
Yeah.
And the film said, no, not really. There's way more to it. The tagline was, there's no gene for the human spirit. And scientists didn't really like that. 20 years later, the film was right and the scientists were wrong, and the science has sort of caught up with Andrew Niccol, the guy who wrote the film.
Yeah.
And I think there's lots of examples of exactly that happening. So, you know, I think Hollywood deserves a lot more sort of respect in terms of the way that it covers science and gets people talking about it.
Never underestimate Affleck. Was it Affleck in Gattaca or was it Jude Law?
Jude Law is in it, but the lead is...
Oh, it's a thingy from Uma Thurman's ex, isn't it?
Ethan Hawke.
That's the fella.
Yeah. And he's very good in it.
He is.
And then Jude Law plays a minor character, plays it very well, because, of course, what Jude Law is excellent at is playing sort of creepy people.
Yeah.
He's very, very creepy people he's amazing at.
Exactly.
Like in The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, that's true.
Giving roles like that, and he's absolutely superb.
You know, people say a lot of things about Jude Law. His real name's his name's not Jude. His real name's oh my god! I'm gonna have to Google that. I remember it from my old gossip days. Jude isn't his real name. His real name's something like Ben.
What's he picked a Jude for?
I know. Well, just middle class, isn't it?
I guess it is.
Rick, Science-ish, the peculiar science behind the movies is out now, I presume.
It's out right now. You could go. You wouldn't be able to go to a bookshop now. It's too late. But you could go on to.
Well, if you've got Amazon Prime, it could be with you by 10 o'clock.
I mean, it really could. It really could. So. Rick. Feel free to buy a load of copies, mate.
Lovely. I will. And thank you so much for joining me at this late hour. Go off and are you doing impossible or are you just picking tomorrow's knitwear?
I'm just going to be picking tomorrow's knitwear, but impossible, you're right. The incredibly popular BBC One quiz show will be back tomorrow, but I recorded it ages ago, so I don't need to do anything.
Exactly. You don't have to do anything. Just one tweet, contractually obliged, job done. Rick, thank you so much, buddy, and I will see you soon.
Thank you very much, mate. Take care,
mate. See you. This is the Late Night Alternative with Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio. With Time for Change.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We do have ways of making you talk, mainly through the telephone. It's 03444991000. We will call you back. You can text the word talk and then your message to 87222. Do we text back? I don't know if we text back or not. You can tweet us at Talk Radio. I've had a DM. Apparently my DMs are open. Who knew? Jamie, this is from Tim Fletcher. Jamie, I would call, but currently flying from MSP to LAX. I know what LAX is. What's MSP? Middlesbrough. Mississippi, not Middlesbrough. Mississippi to LAX. Great show. What are your thoughts on Manford versus Nick Knowles when it comes to singing? This is the question of the show. I believe, you know, we were going to talk about Brexit. No, we were never going to talk about Brexit. But, you know, the Nick Knowles question is one that people are asking about a lot. Is that Sarah? Is Sarah back on the line?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, Sarah?
Yeah, good. That was really interesting. Who were you talking to?
That was Rick Edwards. You know Rick Edwards. He used to be on T4. He's very tall and extremely handsome. He's about 6'3".
And
built like an Adonis. Honestly, you would melt in his arms.
I'm going to have to look him up now.
You do well. You Google image search Rick whilst you're talking to me. So where did we leave things?
So. I had surgery, and then about 8 months later, I went on City Hospital.
Okay, yes, that's right. And City Hospital, that was it. So you were in for a consultation?
No, I was asked to come in and actually be interviewed.
Oh, what, for the TV programme?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Right. Sorry. I thought the doctor was just talking to you and they walked past you in the corridor and didn't stop you. So you were asked specifically... to be on City Hospital?
Yeah.
Was the word Knowles mentioned at any point?
Well, I can't remember. I do seem to remember, though, that my mum and I were very excited because, obviously, we wanted him to...
Sarah, who wouldn't be excited?
Oh, he was so handsome back then as well.
Hey, he's still got it. He's had a rough couple of years. He looks like he's been out in the wind. But yes, I agree.
He's fit. So I was, I can't remember. I'm not very good with celebs and all this and that.
That's all right.
This other guy interviewed me, but he was like super fit.
Hey, so Nick Knowles is fit, but the guy that interviewed you, whose name? What year was this?
Oh gosh.
What year was it?
I went to about 2005.
2005. Max is the other side of the glass. Max, who was co-presenting City Hospital with Nick Knowles in 2005?
Oh, it's escaping me. You want me to look it up?
Yes, please. Max is on it, Sarah.
He was like super cool. But I'd had an operation. I'd had my jaw broken and reset.
Oh, crikey.
Both parts of my jaws. Yeah, it's all good, though.
It's all good. It's fine now, is it?
Yeah, really happy with it.
Presumably with a broken jaw, not the best time to meet two fitties.
No, well, I'd recovered by then. I'd lost a lot of weight, so it was worth it.
I bet you had. You couldn't eat.
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to eat straight after the op. But at the hospital, guys, hospital where I had it done, there's a McDonald's.
Oh, did you sneak out for a cheeky McDouble?
I think it might have been on the way home after the operation. But it took, like, 4 hours to eat my meal. It wasn't wired.
Anyway, I'm not interested in the McDonald's so much as I'm interested in your obsession with Nick Knowles, because I'm obsessed with him as well.
Why is everyone obsessed?
Why am I obsessed? Because he's got everything. He's got it all going on, and he's now, I mean, are you a fan, Sarah, important question, are you a fan of Robert Palmer? He's no longer with us, sadly.
Oh, God, yeah, Addicted to Love, yeah?
Yeah, that one, yeah, well, imagine the combination of Robert Palmer and Nick Knowles together.
Oh.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that.
This is every kind of people. This is just a little glimpse, little glimpse behind the curtain of Nick Knowles' life. Listen to this.
Ooh, takes every kind of people to make what life's about.
How do you feel listening to that, Sarah?
Every kind of people.
I mean, I particularly like the way he's using one chord. What do you think?
He does sound quite hot, actually.
He sounds hot! He sounds tired.
There is something there.
There is something. Is someone talking to you? Can we hear? Is there a second voice then, I heard?
No, I'm on my own. Oh, it might have been my cat. Sorry about that. They're having a bit of a moment.
Oh, okay. Can your cat talk?
No, but they do make, like, the most stupid noises.
Okay. Now, the album's out soon. I think we're going to find out when the album's out. I'm friends with Nick on Twitter. I'll DM him for you and see if he'll send you a signed copy.
Yeah, I'm following you on Twitter now.
Oh, are you lovely? I'll follow you back. Lovely. Perfect.
Oh, awesome. And I'll listen to you on the radio, because I'll be honest, I've never listened to you before.
Well, why would you? You don't know who I am. I don't know who you are either.
He is anymore.
Pardon?
I'm studying for an MA, and that is all my mind is focused on at the moment.
What are you studying for an MA in?
Popular music research.
Pardon? In what?
Popular music research.
Popular music research?
Yeah, how cool is that?
That is very cool. You should, come and have a listen to Virgin downstairs every now and then when you're not listening to talk radio.
I did work experience at Virgin once.
Did you? Hold on, what? When? Not while I've been here.
No. How long have you been there?
18 months.
No, this was like...
Oh, you're back in the Russ Williams, Chris Evans days.
No, Suggs and, what's his name? Christian O'Connell and that.
He's just won an award as well, Christian. But yeah, obviously, back when they were at the posh offices.
Is he still on Virgin?
Well, no, it's all very confusing. It's based on a franchise business model. We don't need to go there right now.
No, that's too confusing. This was about 2006, so the same year I started uni.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago. Good times.
They are good times. Sarah, I could chat to you all night, but I can't.
Shame.
It is a shame. As well as, but I'm a big fan of people on the TV singing. Do you remember Paul Shane from Heidi High?
Heidi High.
The one who played Ted Bovis.
Yeah, I know.
Baby,
that's him there. He sang I've Lost That Loving Feeling. It's one of my favourite YouTube clips ever. Go and Google that.
Oh, my God. And who's the other guy I'm Googling again?
Rick Edwards.
Right, I'm going to Google him.
Sarah, put the cat on your lap.
Yeah.
Get two browser windows open. On the left, I want Rick Edwards in knitwear. And on the right-hand side, I want Paul Shane from Heidi High. You are going to have yourself a lovely evening.
Did you find out who the guy was?
Max, have we found out who the guy who presented... Sarah, keep listening. We'll find out. We'll stick with us and we'll find that out, I promise. We're Googling who was presenting City Hospital in 2006, who's fitter than Nick Knowles. that's the remit you've given us.
Rick Edwards is fit. I recognise him now.
Rick Edwards is fit. Yes, he is, exactly.
Really clever.
He was fit and clever, and he's young.
Most people, how old is he?
Oh, I don't know, younger than me. That's all I care about.
Late 20s?
Well, let's not push it. I think his Wikipedia age might be late 20s. I suspect his early 30s.
Gosh, he's a bit of a dreamboat, isn't he?
He is. How old are you, Sarah?
I'm 32.
Oh, well, there's a chance if had he not been married to a supermodel. Rick's 38. So,
yeah, see, I'm far from supermodel.
A bit too young for him as well.
Young, probably.
Sarah, it's been lovely talking to you. If I come on again, if they let me back, will you call again?
Oh, I promise, yeah.
Thank you very much. Sarah from Sevenoaks, my first proper caller. Delightful. You're lovely. What a lovely crowd. As well as Nick Knowles, if you've got any questions about Nick Knowles, or if you know who the fitty, who's fitter than Nick Knowles that was presented in City Hospital in 2006, then do get in touch. The number is 03444991000. We will call you back, it says in capital letters. As well as Nick Knowles, it's not all about... Oh, someone's on Periscope. Amy Rushton. Was it Roger Black? It could have been Roger Black, because I would class Roger Black as being fitter than Nick Knowles. If you're listening, you're wondering who the hell I am. I'm not Ian Lee. Ian Lee is in Leeds, is at the ARIA Awards. He's just won. So the show that is normally on at this time is now an award-winning show. I'm like the Prince Harry to Ian's Prince William. I'm the spare and here's the heir. But Ian will be back tomorrow. He will be back tomorrow. We're talking about a few things today, as well as Nick Knowles. I want to talk to you about debt. It sounds like a bit of a serious one. I guess it is, because debt isn't fun for anyone. There's a thing going around today about how everybody is in tons of debt. So I want to talk to you guys about that. And I'm just interested in what's the most amount of... I'll rewind a second. When I was about 21, 22, I think I was in debt for the first time in my life. I was about 500 quid in debt, which in 1952 was a lot of money. I was quite worried about it. But one of my dad's friends called Mark, who's so clever, he's been the phone a friend on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire no less than three times. He took me aside because I was panicking a bit about it. And he said, Jamie, don't worry about debt. The problem is that you should only get into as much debt as you are comfortable with. Which sounds like quite sage advice, but the problem is, if you're a bit crap with money like I am, that's the worst advice in the world, because I'm comfortable with any kind of debt. Do you know what I mean? I've got no stop. There's no filter on that kind of thing. But I'm interested in hearing from you. What's the most amount of debt you're comfortable with? Because, everyone's got a threshold where all of a sudden they're waking up in the middle of the night wondering how far away they can get. And also, what's your most regrettable purchase? What is your most regrettable purchase? Someone on Periscope's got 7 credit cards. That, to me, seems excessive. That is excessive. How do you get 7 credit cards? You know when you read about entrepreneurs that have built businesses and they say, oh, for the first year, the whole business was run on my credit cards. How do you do that? How do you do that? I've got no idea. So we're talking about debt. If you've got anything to talk about debt, give us a call. Just to clarify, I'm in no way a debt counsellor. Just to clarify, I can't help you with any of it. I will probably only get into worse trouble. Talking about that, Nick Knowles, obviously, if you're a Manford fan. Manford. When Jason Manford goes to the playground with his sons, is he Manford and Sons? Just wondering. Also, Melania Trump, that's the big one. We're going to get stuck into Melania Trump like nobody's business. No one else seems to be talking about it as much as I am. The whole Melania fake Melania. We're going to do that, hashtag fake Melania. We've got a call of Vicky from Croydon. Hello, Vicky.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying myself.
Are you? Have you done phone-in before?
No, well, kind of, but there's never speaking to such lovely people. I've had Sarah and now Vicky. How can I help?
Well, I was phoning about Nick Knowles' hotness, and I wanted to see you, Nick Knowles, and raid you, Kevin MacLeod, because I think he's beautiful.
Kevin MacLeod?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin MacLeod was one of my first interviewees on when I started the radio show downstairs. He is a joy.
And he's so intelligent, which makes him really attractive. He lacks aesthetics-wise, he more than makes up for in personality. He's just beautiful.
He knows how Wow, you sound like you are well into Mr. MacLeod.
I do really like him. I do think he's kind of hot. So, and also, I was having a conversation with my mum, and that vet from Super Vet as well, the Irish guy? He's really quite beautiful.
I can't remember the guy's name. Is it something like Colm or something? I don't know, it's Irish.
Something like that.
Something like that. And he is very good, and he's very debonair. I've never met the guy, and I'm just surmising. But I tell you what, the legal lawyers have just walked in and told me I can't say what I was about to say. Vicky, can you hold on the phone? Can I call you back in 1 minute? I've got to go for a chat, and I'm doing this because the late night alternative with Jamie Easton for Ian Lee on Talk Radio with Time to Change. 1 in 4 of us will fight a mental health problem this year. Having a mate in your corner can make all the difference, and it often does. So search Time to Change to find out more. Be back in a tick.
Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's me, Jamie East, in for Ian Lee, with you until 1 o'clock in the morning. We're talking about debt. We're talking about Nick Knowles. And for goodness sake, Amy's just let me know that Roger Black's dad delivered her in a hospital in Gosport. I don't know how we ended up with that. And also, if you're on board with hashtag Fake Melania, I want to hear from you. We're going to be talking to a body double who is in need of some help. And Paul Dannan is on the way very, very shortly after the news on Talk Radio with me, Jamie East. See you in a second.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here we go. It's Jamie East in for Ian Lee. How are you? I'm not Ian Lee. Ian is up in Leeds. He's just won an ARIA. This show is now award-winning. Exciting. Paul Dannan is in the studio.
How you doing, people?
How are you? All right?
Yeah, really good.
Looking good. And we've got MCDT in the house.
How you doing?
In the house?
We're loving it.
Oh, I've got the hotkey ready and everything, and you can do it live, so you don't need me to...
Yay! Yeah. I know that voice.
Yay!
And we're talking... Vicky, are you there? Vicky, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Say hello to Paul.
Hi, Vicky.
Hey, Paul. Oh, can I just say, Paul,
yeah,
you dealt with your time in the house very, very well.
Oh, I love you.
Sebsy big brother.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you really did, and you put up with a lot of rubbish.
Well.
And I think you did really well.
I really appreciate that. And to be honest, I actually got so used to it, I didn't want to leave after a while. I just thought, you know what, I could really start to enjoy this. And then... I don't know. It was a shame. Yeah, it was a shame to have to go so soon. But I wanted to go to the final, really. But anyway, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Well done, Sarah Hardy.
You did very well.
If anyone else wants to call in, speak to Paul or MCDT, the number is 03444991000, and we will call you back. You can text the word talk, then your message to 87222, or if you're tight, just tweet us, because that's absolutely free, and it's at Talk Radio. Vicky, what were we talking about before?
We were talking about the super vet, who I've actually Googled now, and he's called Noel Fitzpatrick.
Noel Fitzpatrick, that's right.
Oh, lovely.
I kind of fancy him.
Mm. Okay.
So, yeah, it's just, you know what, it's intelligent men.
Yeah.
That's all it is. If you did a poll on Twitter, most women would go for intelligence over looks.
Do you think?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I think so.
Okay. You have to have a bit of looks, though, don't you?
I've got both.
It's got to be, yeah. Really.
So what are you going to do about this? You're going to make a move on him, or...? I mean, I think he should.
He's a TV personality, so I don't think so. He's probably married, let's face it.
Probably. Well, I think he's a bit... The problem I have with the super vet, and I don't know him, I'm sure he's a lovely fella, is that I've seen him at a few events and stuff, and I think he kind of... You know when people get a bit of attention on the telly?
Right.
And they kind of know it? He's got his... He's got a little bit of that.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of that.
He's got a lot to learn.
That's unattractive. It's unattractive.
Pardon? That's really put me off. Do you know what? I was talking to my mum about him tonight, actually.
Right.
She was watching him, and I said, oh, he's hot, isn't he? And she was like, oh, you know what? I thought it was just me.
Wow.
But, and she's in her 70s, and she fancies him as well.
Yeah. Well, Vicky, is it Super Vet on? Is it now?
It was on earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you and your mum could have some real fun, couldn't they?
Never.
If the vet needed to come round and help.
Well, you'd have to injure your pets purposely first.
Yeah.
Vicky, we're going to leave it on that incestual cliffhanger. We've got Laura. We do not encourage any stuff like that. Absolutely not. Don't do that, Vicky, for goodness sake. Vicky, I'm going to speak to you soon, okay? Vicky's gone. Laura's asking, why don't you age, Paul? Have you got a mirror in your... Have you got Dorian Gray's mirror or whatever it is in your attic?
Right, am I... Can they see me right now?
Well, you're on Periscope, so I just turn the camera around and...
Yeah, I don't age because my parents, bless them, they've got good genes. I've got good genes. They look quite young still. I don't know. It's a good thing.
It's all that jogging you do. Now, we are here to talk, but the reason you're not just here because you were passing.
No.
It's because, Paul Dannan, you've been actor, you've been acting teacher, you've been a Celebrity Big Brother housemate.
Yeah.
And you are now...
Hollyoaks, Love Island.
Hollyoaks, you are...
I've been a Cupid.
Love
Test
Island.
Test Drive My Girlfriend, Love Island.
Paul, what was the one you did
The Queen's Nose.
What was the one with Callum and Fran?
Callum Fran and Dangerous Danan, the road trip. The road trip across America.
Amazing. But you are here now because you're a music manager.
Well, this is it. I have taken on a role for a new show called The Comeback. And it's basically produced and developed by my good friend who's here, woo-hoo, MC DT. He just thought, why not call some of his mates up in the music industry,
yeah,
and get them together and let's make a super group.
MC DT, what the hell were you thinking?
And Paul Denham be the manager of this super group and get them loads of gigs.
Right.
He's a good guy. He knows what he's doing.
He's a good guy. Everyone loves Paul Denham. Whether I'd have him managing my career is a different thing, though.
I know.
What's the thinking behind it?
In managing mine.
The thinking is that he knows what he's doing, knows the business in and out. He's been in it for a long while, and he's the man, Danan
is the man. And now, what is the group? Take me through the...
It's a mixture of old, people that have done stuff in the past.
Let's face it, old.
I didn't want to say the word. We call it the low.
Right.
We'll reverse it. The low.
Okay.
Yeah.
People that are the low.
Yeah.
And then kind of bringing them back as a big group.
Okay. Who's signed up so far? Who's in?
We've got Dane Bowers. Mucha Brenner is going to jump on board at some point.
Romeo from So Solid
Bushkin,
Crew. Bushkin myself. From the Heartless Crew. MCDT.
There's going to be a blazing squad somewhere, surely.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try and get Kenzie in there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we don't want it to be too big, like So Solid Crew were like thousands of them, and then obviously they only got like 20p when they got paid because they had to split it between so many people.
Yeah.
So we've got to keep it to about 6 or 7, but.
And what's the end game here? Are you going to release? Are you going to go on tour? Yeah. What's the plan?
Well, all of the above, I think.
We're gonna do a few gigs, probably one big first gig, yeah, at somewhere, maybe a festival or something to release it. But it's all going to be filmed for a TV show.
Okay.
So the TV show is basically how this band get together.
Yeah.
The knockbacks, the success, how it happens, who says no, Heartless Crew and So Solid Crew getting together. That's like damaging, like, you know, actually they've got beef still. So
have they got beef, man.
Hold on a second,
take me through the beef. I don't know what the beef is.
So there was beef with Heartless and So Solid, and I don't know if they've completely made up. So Bushkin's like funny about having being in a band with Romeo, but if Romeo
is it real beef or is it just bully beef?
I mean it's not Tupac and Biggie beef.
No, exactly.
But it's still beef.
Right, okay.
And
give each other a Chinese burn.
Yes.
Something like, yeah, right, exactly. And like, as long as they make up, then this group could be sick.
Wow, okay.
And we've got plans of taking it to Dubai,
yeah,
Cyprus.
Yes.
Yeah. Global.
You get free hotels there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, exactly. So we can film some of the gigs, and actually do a TV show where we go out there and they do a gig and the whole kind of build up and everything. It's really interesting.
And what stage are you at now? Have you had a rehearsal? Have you sized each other up? Have there been songwriting sessions? Where are we, MCDT? Hit me.
At the moment, we're at just getting the pilot done. It's going to be ready in the next couple of weeks.
We've filmed it. We've shot it.
Okay.
We've shot and done. So just looking for the polished thing in them from there. We'll move on. Many avenues to take.
We've made a tune as well. Tell them about that.
Yeah, got a tune coming out. It's going to be called The Comeback.
And Dane is singing. Of course he is. Yeah, he come up with the hook. He's a very good songwriter.
Yeah.
Mutya didn't turn up that day. So
what, for the writing session or the recording?
The filming and the recording, so we're a little bit of a letdown, but she's still keen.
I'm not being funny, Paul, but the writing's been on the wall for years.
And
the Sugar Babes have split up more times than God knows.
The thing is,
Mutya
seems to kind of book things and then not quite make them. So we're giving her another chance. We do think she should be in the group. But you know what? We'll carry on filming it as reality, and if she keeps letting us down, you'll all know about
it. And what's the where does Dane pull his songwriting ideas from?
Dane's good, and he's a good actor as well.
Yeah, he's just creative like that. Very creative.
Where is he at the moment?
He's in Dubai.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
I bet he is. If I had to place a tenor on where Dane Bowers would be right now... I would have said Dubai.
Yeah, I haven't been yet, but I'm dying to go out there. He's out there doing his gigs. He's a bit of a DJ as well. So
yes.
So it's good that he's going to be producing some of the tracks for this. And you know what? If everyone chips in, because no one's getting paid at the moment, we're all doing it for favours.
Yeah.
But we believe in it, and we've got a good director who's
Freddy
Krueger, and he's a great guy. He's doing a horror movie next year that me and Dee are in.
Freddy Krueger is doing a horror movie.
Yeah. Not actually the real Freddy Krueger.
Okay,
with
so that's his stage
hands.
Name, right?
Yeah,
okay,
no. His name is actually Freddy Krueger as well, but I think it's spelled a bit different. But he's a director, he's made loads of good shows, and he directed this, and he's cutting it. And we're going to the editing suite next week to check it all out. And there's also some behind-the-scenes footage.
Yep,
so while we were waiting around, like, I fell asleep in the car for a bit. They got footage of that, like, playing tricks on me. So behind-the-scenes, not just the actual...
Okay, and is that, you know, what makes all of these kind of documentary-style programmes work?
Yeah.
Isn't... You know, as much as we like the tunes and we like the lightheartedness, and it's, there's got to be a bit of darkness in there as well, a bit of soul searching and stuff.
Yeah.
Because all of you have been somewhere and been through the mill, and you know, we're all now where we are now, and that changes people.
Yeah, of course,
you know?
It gives you a different outlook on life.
Yeah, we've got
totally.
Experience, and we've been there, and we know, like, you know, people are going through troubles and struggling, and fame can be a difficult thing when that gets taken away from you, you know?
Well, I've got a theory, it must be difficult, and Paul, you can probably answer this better than anyone, is that there must come a point, because you've been through, you've had your highs and you've had your lows, and there's been, you know, as with anyone that works in the media, there are times where you're making it rain, there are other times where it's very dry.
Yeah.
And how do you find it when you're too famous to go and work in Sainsbury's, but not famous enough to, you've still got to pay the rent and feed your kid?
This is a problem I had for a long time, and that was the thing. I didn't know what to do. My parents were like, look, my dad especially, you know, came over from France, had nothing, bought a fridge, sold it, bought two fridges, you know, and developed it. And now he's like, you know, he's a really successful businessman.
Sell fridges?
But, you know, fridges, actually. Okay. Fridges and air conditioning and refrigeration.
Right, okay.
And, you know, couldn't speak English, was in the French Foreign Legion, you know, so he is a proper, like,
self-made man.
Get up and go, mate. Who cares about the fame thing? Go and work anywhere. And I found it quite difficult. I ended up working in a phone shop for a bit, fixing screens, but I was the salesman.
And this was what, post Hollyoaks?
This was only like a few years ago.
Bloody hell.
Only like my mate's shop, just helping out, because there were times where I needed to do something. It
wasn't
even about just the money, it was about, you know, doing something and getting up and doing a day's work.
Yeah.
Because it sometimes it happens and sometimes it goes away. And when it goes away, it's quite depressing.
Yeah.
And that's when you can start being naughty and doing other things to take that pain away.
Yeah.
You know, and it happened for a long time. And then suddenly you become in a rut and you don't really know what to do. And then when you see people, they're like, what are you up to? And you're embarrassed or you're ashamed. And
yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because it's a dump that. Thank you very much.
And now it's really good again. You know, and it's like, okay, so how do I handle it this time? How do I actually deal with it properly and better this time? Well, this time around, I'm going to be a lot more grateful and really hold on to it as much as possible and know that it is just a window. Hopefully, I'll keep that window open for a long time.
Yeah.
But it could close, so you make the most of it when it's open.
And the more, and I guess the older you get and the more times you experience it, because, you know, we all experience it. You prep yourself for it a bit more, don't you?
I've got a kid now.
You roll with the punches a bit more, don't you?
Yeah, you know, and when you have a son or a child, you realise it's not about you anymore, it's about kind of providing and doing well and you know, and making that, but always keeping your feet on the ground and being kind and polite and nice and allowing people to want to work with you again and again. And Dee called me up, and I hadn't seen him in ages. We did a feature film years ago called Dog.
One Man and His Dog.
One Man and His Dog.
Wow. What was it about?
With
a dog.
With Bobby.
And a man?
It was a gangster film with Bobby George.
Tamer Hassan must have been in it as well. He's in every...
he was in it.
He's in every English gangster film.
No, I don't think Tamer was in it.
No, he was in it.
Yeah, he'd be furious.
A little tiny something in it, but... Pardon me, there was a lot of people in it. It was my first lead in a feature, and Dee was in it, and that's how I met him. And Real Gangsters actually funded the film, so we were quite scared on the...
What?
Yeah, so when we went on set every day, we had to be really careful not to speak to them, because if they you get too friendly with them, that's it, they take you under their wing and they never let you go.
You want to be friends, you don't want to be too friendly. Yeah. I don't want to go around your house.
They were serious guys, you know, so when I was doing like two or three takes, that was costing them money, because we filmed on 35, and when you film on film, it costs a lot of money. It's expensive. Nowadays, digital, you can film as many scenes as you want. And I was getting this one scene wrong, and I tell you what, the gangsters were looking at me like, we're going to kill you, mate. Like, this is our money. Yeah, you better get this take right.
Hold that thought, because I did a blooming corporate thing for Lenny McLean. Do you remember Lenny McLean, the gangster, for his film?
The Governor. I watched the documentary
I'll tell you a story about that in a minute, because this is the Late Night Alternative with Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio with Time to Change.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hiya, how you doing? I'm not Ian Lee, I am Jamie East. He's just won an ARIA. He's now award-winning Ian Lee. He'll be back tomorrow strutting his stuff. Now, it's you can call anytime you like, 03444 991000. We will call you back. Paul Dinan's in the house. Say hello, Paul.
Hey, guys.
And MCDT is in the house, too. MC, do the thing.
We're loving it, loving it, loving it. We're loving it like this.
Loving that. Now, what have you been up to since that song?
Oh, I've been doing loads of gigs. I've had a few songs that, you know, I've put out and stayed on the underground.
Yeah.
And just kept it moving. Been to Dubai, Cyprus, a lot of travelling, Japan, South Africa. Done loads, been everywhere.
I must confess, it's not my expertise. Would you class that as garage? Was it Quickstep?
It's garage.
Garage. So it's
garage. It just went commercial and made it to the Overstream. Though I've had that cough as well, and it made it to the mainstream. So it was garage.
Okay, and so how in the interim? That was 2001.
Yeah.
So in 16 years, how has garage moved on? Where are we now?
It's kind of gone.
What's the scene like?
It's gone full circle again. You know, like it's like fashion. It goes away and then it comes back again, and now it's back at its peak again.
Okay.
So it's good times for garage right now. So big up all the garage crew.
20-year anniversary, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it 20 years since garages were invented?
Yeah, Radio 1, One Extra have been doing 20-year anniversary for garage.
Well, good garage for that.
It's awesome. And grime and garage are very similar, you know. There's a lot of grime artists.
I don't know the difference.
Well, this is the thing, you know. So Solid Crude, man, some of the way they rap is very grimy. And so they are kind of doing stuff with grime artists, like, you know, Asher D does stuff with, like, Kano and people like that. And D does stuff with, goes to festivals. And they all kind of seem to mix together, which is great because people love grime.
Yeah. Okay.
Big family.
Yeah.
What have you done in the interim? We're talking to Paul earlier on about how you keep the wolf from the door, and we've all done bits and bobs. What do you turn your hand to? Have you got a craft? Are you a mean electrician?
I am actually a qualified painter and decorator.
Are you?
Yes, qualified City and Guilds. My mum always said to me, get yourself a trade boy.
You got to.
Yeah.
Abso-flippin-lutely. Dinan's got his acting college. Yeah. And you can change. So you were changing phone screens? I tried to do that.
I worked in a shop called I Smashed It, where they basically fixed people's...
Was the shop called I Smashed It? What a great name for
the phone. Yeah, yeah. So they come in and the girl or the guy goes, I smashed my phone. And I go, okay, let me take it, have a look at it.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I'm not the one to fix it. I give it to my engineers behind me.
Okay.
And they check it out. They have a look at some of the beautiful photos that are on these phones.
You do not.
Maybe sometimes.
We don't continue.
And they fix the phone and and then they give it back with a smile.
What are your thoughts, guys, on people from TV doing musical careers? Have you had a musical career, Paul? Have you sang? Have you done?
Do you know what? When I was in Hollyoaks, I got approached by a guy called Nick Raphael, an A&R guy, and
I've heard of Nick Raphael.
Yeah, and basically he promised me the world. I was about to sign a 5-album deal for 100 grand, and in the last minute he pulled out.
To be fair, though, back in the day, you'd have whacked through that 100 grand quite quickly.
Yeah, exactly. and five albums. I mean, I was like all about being an Eminem-type prodigy-type guy.
So you wanted to go down the Eminem route?
And they wanted me to be like New Radicals. Like, you only get what you give.
Yeah, yeah, tune.
And I would have done it, but I was so like into Prodigy and so into kind of Eminem and rapping. And that's the way I want to go. In the end, they couldn't see eye to eye. And they ended up making, I think, Damage or one of those bands. And they gave the deal to them.
Oh, that was so...
So, I don't know.
And he went on to marry Emma Bunton.
Yes. Well, yeah. Lucky guy.
Yeah. Sliding door moment.
So, but I stayed in Hollyoaks. It was better for me, you know.
That's true.
But I was in a boy band years ago called Escape. We did a few gigs, a lot of gay venues, and we were quite funny. We did, like, covers of Take That and...
Nice.
And things like that. So,
because it seems to be back, it's back on trend, as if you're a television presenter or kind of a famous. Than to do a pop career. Jason Manford.
I think that's cool, though.
Has got an album. This is all because Bradley Walsh was the biggest selling album artist of last year.
Oh, really?
He sold more records than David Bowie last year.
No.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Fair play to him.
That was the year Bowie died.
Wow.
Couldn't compete with the Walsh.
Wow.
So we've got Alistair McGowan. He's a pianist.
Yeah.
Apparently. Jason Manford. Kiefer Sutherland, he's in the band. Russell Crowe, he's in the band.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what was the guy that does... oh, my God, he did the film called Inner Space.
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid! I went to see him in a band when I lived in LA, and I was just screaming out, Inner Space! Inner Space!
He must have loved that.
Yeah, he hated it.
but the man that's kind of captured the nation's imagination is Nick Knowles at the moment.
Who?
Nick Knowles.
Oh, Nick, no.
City Hospital, DIY SOS, makes a lot of patios and makes houses accessible and puts kind of sensory things.
And now he's a musician.
Well, according to him, he's always been a musician.
According.
The way I see it is you don't want to be pigeonholed in one thing. Try a hand at anything. See.
Well, exactly, and I don't want to do him down because the lad's giving it a good go. It's going to sell a lot. I mean, this is what he had to say.
I'm not trying to be Justin Bieber. I know that I've got a very specific voice. There's not anybody else who's going to sound like me.
So, you know, I mean, he's and he's not wrong either. He's not wrong.
Ooh, Jake Zimbrican.
Is that him?
No, let's not laugh. I mean, he's just having a go.
Meet
what life's about.
Oh,
but it's,
go on,
are you not a fan of that?
No.
Sounds country and western.
Well, he's a lover, not a fighter, is Nick. So I think, and a vegan.
Yeah, mate.
How do you know someone's a vegan?
Oh, I don't know.
Because they'll bloody well tell you, mate.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 03444991000, and we will call you back. Text the word talk and then your message to 87222. Text costs 25 pence plus your network rate. Do tweet us. I've not been keeping an eye on the tweets. I need to keep more eye on the tweets. I've got Periscope there. It's my first show on Talk Radio, so I'm covering for Ian Lee, who's up in Leeds. Have we got anyone on the phone? They've changed all the colours. We have different colours downstairs. What do you think of Melania Trump, Paul Dunan? There's a question I've always wanted to ask.
What do I think of Trump?
Melania Trump.
Oh, I don't care about her. I don't. Well, what, the fit one?
Well,
the girlfriend?
The first lady, the president of the United, States. Hot. There's a theory going around.
I quite like her, yeah.
Okay, there's a theory going around that she's not real, that she's fake, that they've replaced her with a lookalike.
Oh, no.
That's true.
Well, what? Is she in danger or something? Or she doesn't want to be there?
Paul, we just don't know.
I don't think she really wants to be with Trump. I think he's kidnapped her, and that's it. And, like, she is held hostage. She can't leave him. She's, like, bound by him.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't really care about her that much. She has to have sex with him. This is horrific.
I'm not saying she has to. I don't think that's the law.
Well, I think he's quite a powerful man now. He's gone even more powerful. And I don't think she really wants to be there every day. So they thought, look, let's buy a lookalike.
It didn't look like her, though.
No.
Have you seen the picture?
No, I haven't seen the picture.
I'll find the picture for you. We'll come back to that in a minute.
All right.
We're also getting people to call in about debt.
Oh, yeah.
About being in debt.
I've had a bit of that.
Yeah. There's a story out today where they're saying everybody is in debt. Which is probably true.
Mm.
But there was a great piece of advice that I was given where it's the only time to worry about debt is when it's an amount that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Was there a point for you guys where you kind of, you did the maths in your head and you were like, oh, crap.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm never going to be able to dig myself out of this.
Yeah, 100%.
What was the figure?
The figure was only £5,000 at the time, to be honest.
Yeah, but that's but it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
A pound is a lot of money if you've only got 99p.
This is true. This is true. And it kind of built up by the time they had their stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
The little come out calls and all that kind of stuff.
And what was it? Was it credit card? Was it a credit card? Yeah.
Yeah, because I was giving away like nobody's business in the back in the day. So everyone got caught.
Mine was a credit card too. Mm. It was a Barclay card and I went mental with it. You know, you're not allowed to use it at the cash point, but I did.
Yeah.
Cost like £20 every time you get cash out with
it. Yeah,
And it was just every month you had to pay it. In the end, I mean, I went to the limit. I'm still paying it now. And at the time I wasn't very well, and they allowed me to pay £50 a month, and I still do pay that £50 a month.
Yeah.
But I think they want more now.
Yeah.
And I'm only, because that's the only amount each month, I'm now still, I'm probably on about six or five that I still owe them £5,000. It takes a long time to get rid of.
It never goes down.
£9,000 or something.
No, it never goes down. We've had a text in, they didn't leave their name, unfortunately. If you text in, text the word talk, then your message to 87222. Do you leave your name so that we can give you a shout out? It's going to be for you, Paul. What was the best and the worst part of doing Celebrity Big Brother?
The best part was realising that, you know, I was being given a second chance to be on TV again. And I was really with a good group of people. Yeah, some of them pissed me off, but they were really nice.
Yeah.
It was good casting. We had a really good group of people. Sorry, I'm eating like a Vimto thing.
Yeah, people are asking on Periscope, what is he eating, a Wham bar? They were very close, actually. It's a Vimto bar.
Vimto bar, refreshers I've got.
Okay, well, let's just finish the what you're on and just keep it at that. Right, so yeah, the best part?
The best part was being given a chance to do it again and to be around a really good cast of people and to just embrace it and to really be Paul again. I felt happy doing that job. And the worst thing was, obviously, people goating you. You know, they were...
Goading? What, in the house?
They were goating me.
Goating? Mm. I've heard of goading. What's goating? Do we need to go there? What is goating?
Same thing.
Same thing. Right, fine. Okay. So what, housemates goading you, or when you came out, the public, or what?
In there, they were goading me.
Right, okay.
And, you know, all I wanted them to do was just have a ride.
There we go.
Hit that button.
That done?
Fine.
And they were turning into different people in the evening. Like, you know, one minute they were really cool and stuff. Next minute they wanted to have a fight over nothing. And they wanted more booze. And it was like...
Bit of a nightmare.
Winding me up and trying to call me names. And I just thought, why are you being horrible?
What, It's a strange experience, Celebrity Big Brother. The house is a weird one. It stinks for a start.
Mm.
Do you remember the smell of Big Brother house?
It absolutely stinks.
It stinks. Because even though you were only in for like what, 10 days, something like that.
I was in there for 2.5 weeks. So yeah.
But it feels like 2.5 months.
Because
it's quite boring in there, isn't it?
It's like you're on 24/7. Like, literally, you do like an 18-hour proper filming day. Because with Love Island, you couldn't tell there was cameras, really, because you were outside.
Yeah.
You got the beach, the swimming pool, the sunbeds. There aren't cameras right there in your face. With Big Brother, there were cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
The lights were like you were on a big film set.
You can tell when they're on you as well.
So you knew that you were filming a show and it was constantly like on form for like 18 hours a day. It took it out of you.
Yes. Because that was your second... You've had a few experiences of reality TV. So Love Island, that was when I first came across the wonderful Paul Dunant.
Celebrity Love
Celebrity
Island.
Celebrity Love Island, sorry.
There's a difference.
But anyway, it is, and it was one of the most groundbreaking moments in reality TV, because I mean, you had a proper meltdown there, didn't you?
Yeah, man.
And it was pretty intense. So was it the Jane Middlemiss one? Was it who fell in love with?
I fell in love with Lady Isabella Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, when you say those words out loud now,
yeah,
do you go, oh Christ?
Well, you know, I loved her. I loved her at the time.
Yeah,
it wasn't love; it was love.
Right.
And there's a difference.
Okay.
It's just the one above lust.
Okay.
And when you luff someone, you really want to get with them. And it's like that kind of like, no, there's something needs to happen here. And then they bring on a Playboy model, Nikki's earring, to mix things up.
I don't even remember her.
And she took me in the toilets and gave me...
No.
Really nice time.
Okay.
And then came out and wiped her lips and, like, basically, they had a time clock on the corner of the actual toilet on the screen, apparently. 2:58. And
that was how long it took.
It'd been a while, you know. So that's
so. I understand. So without
Lady Isabella Harvey was furious.
Without getting too crude about it. Hang on a sec. Hold that thought. Julie, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
You James. Arrived just at the right time. Then thank you. I was about to get pulled off air.
2:58. 2 minutes.
Julie, how can I help you?
Well, first of all, Jamie, I'd like to say you're doing a sterling job being in free.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. That's very kind. I'm really enjoying it.
And I've got two questions. The first one is I want to know what the DT and MCDT stands for. How come that name came about?
Is it because your name's Derek Thompson or something?
You're close.
What is it?
MC's for the, you know, master of ceremony.
Yeah.
And the DT's for Daddy Tiny. It's my school name.
Daddy Tiny?
Daddy Tiny, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'd never have guessed that.
Say that again, sorry?
Do we want to know how you got that nickname?
I wouldn't ask you. I mean, let's not look. We just caught Paul before he went off on one. We don't want to go. We don't want to know anything about Daddy Tiny.
And I have another question.
And there's a whole category of that on a website that I've seen. What was your other question, Julie?
And the other question is, I would really like to know of Paul and MCDC what music they listened to when they were growing up. What was kind of played in their house when they were growing up?
Mine was very varied because my mum liked everything from Def Leppard to reggae to soul. So it's very mixed. So I was very open-minded when it comes to music, yeah.
Yeah.
What song, when you hear it, just transforms you back to your earliest childhood memory?
Anything by Joan Armatrading.
Joan Armatrading. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Another bit of Joan.
Mine is Stevie Wonder quite a lot, my parents, and I was very into the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson, and Wham was a massive thing as well. Yes. But Stevie, you know, when that song, Master Jam, is it called?
Master Jamming.
Master Blaster. Jamming.
Master Blaster, no, you're right. Blaster, yep.
Yeah, when that comes on, that just takes me back to being a child in my house with my
Learning to the Brick.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and then obviously a lot of rock, like back in the day, the Pearl Jam.
Well, obviously a lot of rock.
Yeah.
Obviously a lot of rock, because when I look at you, Paul, I think of Alice in Chains.
Do you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Smashing Pumpkins, you know, Blind Melon, Lenny Kravitz,
all of them.
Guns N' Roses, yeah. And then obviously you got the Prodigy and things like that. Yeah, growing up, things like that. And hip-hop, you know, the Beasties and...
Prodigy, when Fat of the Land came out.
That's
and
it.
Music for the Jewish Generation.
Well, Jewish Generation was the one when they mixed dance music and rock music and created it something that you've never heard before together, and it worked. And then when you saw it live, it worked even better.
Yeah.
You were like, wow, these guys have made something incredible.
Yeah.
And now, look, the biggest dance band in the world still. So, yeah, big respect for that.
Yeah. What about you, Julie? What do you listen to?
Yeah, a bit of everything, actually. A bit of Beastie Boys, fantastic group live.
Lovely.
And Prodigy, anything from Beatles, bit of blues, original blues. Bit of
all of
them. Lee Hooker and B.B. King, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Go on, girl.
Yeah, you've got a good old playlist. What about this?
Dr. John. Yeah, we're not sure.
That's just the Knowles, he'll find you.
He's a gardener.
The thing that annoyed me about that was they said, that's you, mate, that's Make You Feel My Love. And they always say, oh, it's Adele song. God, it drives me mad. It's Bob Dylan. It's Bob Dylan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Julie, what do you think to Fake Melania? Are you on board with that? Is she a robot?
I tweeted her a picture, actually. She was in the interview, and it looks like she's got glasses with a false nose on.
It does. The nose is attached to the glasses.
Yeah.
It's like James Bay. His hair's attached to his hat.
Right? So, I mean, there's got to be something kind of not quite right.
So what's going on?
In the first place, surely, right?
Are they going to admit it? Are they going to say it's not her?
I don't know what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought. Has she, has she left him?
Who knows?
Is she on holiday?
Mm.
I'll tell you what, we're talking about body doubles. There's a mate of mine on the phone now.
Yeah.
Do you remember, when Leicester won the Premier League?
No.
Leicester, it was last year, Leicester won the Premier League, and the guy on the phone now, a guy called Lee, who I've spoken to a couple of times on radio before, was the Jamie Vardy lookalike.
That
found himself caught in a maelstrom of celebrity.
I know the guy that looks after him. Yeah.
Lee, how you doing?
I'm good, Jamie. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Long time no speak. We're talking about body.
I know.
We're talking about body doubles.
Yeah.
And you were a body double, really?
I still am. I still do some stuff.
How's it going?
You're busy, aren't you?
Because you've been up and down, haven't you?
Yeah, up, down, left and right, mate.
Yeah.
So take talk radio listeners through it. You were spotted and dragged onto the tour bus. Was that right?
Yeah. Spot on.
And it all went very well. You were adopted by the team to a certain extent. You were invited out to this, that and the other. There was a helicopter ride. Paul Dinan, do not put that sweet in your mouth. And it was you had to give up your work for a time and all that kind of stuff, didn't you?
Don't believe everything you read, though, because some of that wasn't quite true. I never actually took official time off.
Okay.
The guy that looked after me sold a lot of stories behind my back. So
okay.
We won't go into that. Dodgy geezer, that guy.
Never mind. We'll move on from that. Yes, we can't really talk about it because he's not here to defend himself.
No.
So we can't talk about that. But what was the worst thing about it all?
The worst thing was...
because the best thing is obviously meeting your idols and making a pot of cash. Yeah.
And the honeys.
No. The worst part about it all, I think, is losing your own identity. I've now become not just Lee Chandler, I've become, like, something else.
Mm.
You become, the Jamie Vardy lookalike, specifically.
Yeah.
And how do you find... Are you wishing it never happened now, or are you quite happy with it?
No.
Have you reached a happy place?
I've adapted to it, I suppose. You have to adapt to these things.
How difficult was it to go back to normality after it?
Yeah, I'm still sort of buzzing from it now. Just randomly get emails and messages to say, oh, do you fancy doing this down London? Do you fancy going here? Do you fancy going there? Oh, got something for you in Lisbon today. Like, whoa, I'm a postman, leave me alone.
Yeah. It is tough, isn't it? Because if you're not, we can all...
Is he a postman, is he?
Yeah, Lee, you're a postman, aren't you, Lee?
I'm a postie by day, Vardy by night.
Postie by day, Vardy by night. I'm going to go and get some ads now. Maybe if you're around, we'll have a chat to you a bit later. But if you've got to go and say, are you on shift tomorrow morning?
No, I'm cool. I'm cool to speak as long as you need.
Thank God for that. Mate, thank you. Hold on right there, okay?
Yeah.
All right, right. This is Late Night Alternative with Jamie's for Ian Lee on Talk Radio with Time to Change.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I am. Hello. Yes, I am in for Ian Lee. He's up in Leeds. He doesn't drink, so he'll just be kind of like just skipping around. I think they were listening to Busted last time we spoke to them. He won an award. This show normally... is award-winning. Tonight, probably less so.
Amazing.
Round of applause for Ian.
That'll be award-winning tonight.
We're going to try and get Con back on the phone in a bit. We'll see what kind of state they're in. See if we can find out what the after-party's like, because that's where all the fun happens. We've got Paul Dinan in the studio. We've got MCDT in the studio.
Dangerous.
We've got Lee Chapman on the phone. But if you want to talk, get in touch. 03444991000. We will call you back. It says that in capital letters. Lee, are you still there?
Yeah, is that MC loving it there? Is that right?
Has he paid you to say that?
The check's in the postman.
he goes through all the letters looking for checks. He does not.
Is he any good at football?
I'm more of a gymnast.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Are you a... So you're a painter, decorator and a gymnast?
Yes, I used to do gymnastics. I prefer gymnastics to football, I'm afraid.
Ah, never
mind. Well, if you do fancy a game, let us know. I'm part of a Celeb SC, it's called. We do charity football events.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, this is my football team. Who are we speaking to?
Do you play... Hang on, Paul, you play for Celeb FC?
Yeah, it's my team. I've played for them for 4 years.
Oh, cool. I played in at the beginning of the year a couple of times.
I must have missed you, mate. I'll probably
Who else is on the
match.
Team? It's got to be Callum.
Piper.
Billy?
Yeah, DJ Piper.
Piper.
Yeah.
We're loving it, loving MP it, loving Kai. It.
Oh, so...
Piper and...
I think we're Billy Piper.
No, no. Quite a few, like, garage people and this, that. It's not really that celebrity, I've got to tell you. It's called Celeb FC, but no one's a celebrity.
But it's still good.
It's quite cool. MC Kai and people like that. But, like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like,
everyone's having a bit of fun. It's for charity, is it?
Fun. It's for charities, for small charities. So the charities that don't really get a look in, where they've got, like, you know, like...
Small budget,
and they're trying to help.
Need a bit of exposure.
Some kids that have never had any help before, so it's very good.
Good for you guys.
Yeah. The thing is that I wanted to play football, but I just couldn't take the cold. Right. The initial coming out on the pitch in the cold, I can't take it.
You're fair weather player.
It's getting cold now.
Lee, what's the score with Vardy now? Is he speaking to you? Have you made friends, or is it all a bit frosty still?
You know that there was a documentary out and stuff regarding my story.
Yes,
I know that the story got sent to them. I know that they've seen it, but that's as far as it goes publicly. That's all I can tell you, really.
Okay. Fine. Do you think it's had has it had the ending that you wanted? Where did you expect it to go?
I'm part of a TV series on Channel 4. It's not aired yet. We did film it.
Oh, it's just the lookalikes one.
Yeah, lookalike series. Yeah.
So who else was on it?
I took off the phone to a good mate, actually. The George Best lookalike, he's scheduled to be on it.
He's just followed me on Twitter, Mark O'Hare 83.
Yeah, that's right. He was on Snapchat's official Snapchat the other day, because obviously Ireland beat Wales, didn't they? He's an Irish fan. So.
Oh, okay. Well, he would be being a George Best lookalike. You'd have to be, wouldn't you?
Yeah, great.
Oh, so you got that show coming back on, have you?
Yeah, it's meant to be scheduled sometime, so who knows?
Nice.
Lovely, lovely. So are you a good footballer? I mean, you know, are you anything
I can play.
You can play, but you're not... Okay. All right.
I'll have to come and have a game. I'll have to come and have one game.
Well, I'll see you at Celeb FC match, the next match.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should get Jamie involved as well.
Mate,
yeah.
You don't want me anywhere near a football pitch. I'm absolutely shocking.
He's not very good. He's not very good.
Right, Lee, we're going to have to shoot off, mate, because we're going to talk about some other stuff. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
That's it.
And keep your chins up.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having me.
All right, mate. He's gone. Lee's gone. He's a lovely fella, Lee.
Lovely guy.
He's had a bit of a rough ride. There are a lot of snakes in this business, as you well know, and he seems to have met most of them.
Yeah.
We're talking about body doubles.
Does he know Weinstein? No.
I don't know. Yeah. No. I would hope not. We've had another text from Catherine on Periscope and Twitter. What is each person's most embarrassingly funny story? You must have... I can tell you what yours is, Dinan, straight away. The Christmas lights.
No,
oh no! Which one?
I was going to talk about the boxing in the dark.
Oh yeah! Oh my god! Oh my god! What? We've got to talk about this. So me and Paul met. We've met a few times.
Yeah.
But specifically, we were filming a thing that never made it to air.
Jamie's show. Great idea. Let's do a celebrity boxing match in the dark.
It was basically called Celebrity Boxing in the Dark.
In the dark.
So we filmed it. We blagged a load of money to film this program.
Night vision.
So the idea was that you're in the pitch black with night vision cameras strapped to you. So I wanted to find two celebrities to kind of do the
pilot. The referee had night vision goggles.
The referee had night vision goggles. You two couldn't see anything.
Couldn't see jack.
And it was you versus Scott from Five.
Scott from Five. and we took it really seriously.
So you should, because... and the idea was that the lights would go off and you have to find each other.
Literally
and just
the
land
the
punch.
Out of each other,
land
yeah.
a punch.
Land a punch. A point. A
boxing
point.
Rules. Queensbury rules.
That's
it was all going very, very,
very well.
And then someone...
I went in for the kung fu.
Someone decided to go a bit too far.
Yeah.
Danan
jumping
does a flying jumping kick.
Yeah, jumping
straight into Scott from Five's chest.
Yeah.
You broke three of his bloody ribs.
Three ribs, yeah.
And this was a week before Five were going on tour. I got into quite a lot of hot water.
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
Yeah, you did. I actually broke his ribs, but I won. But then I got disqualified.
Well, of course you got disqualified. The thing is, I got away with being sued through a legal loophole because he refused an ambulance.
Yeah, he did.
So I was like, mate, if you refuse the ambulance, it's not on my clock. Not on my clock.
Because to be honest, that would have been quite a few quid.
not from me, it wouldn't have been
not from you, it would have been from someone. But it was one of them. I felt bad And I haven't spoken to Scott since, really.
Haven't you?
Well, I mean, I've tried to befriend him.
Maybe we should do it like Rocky 2.
It's not my fault.
Where Creed and Stallone get back together. People are asking, they want to see footage. I've got the footage.
I've got the footage.
I
want
to see that.
Yes, it's unbelievable.
Maybe I'll dig it out and
it's
stick it up.
So good.
If I ever get invited back on this show, I'll play the footage out. Okay. I'll play the rushes.
I think it should get released. I think it should be released on Channel 5 or something.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's even up to Channel 5, to be honest. Maybe True TV, yeah, or whatever that one. Maybe a bit further down the EPG, the 400s or something.
Yeah. We'll ask Russia today if they'll do it.
They'll do anything. They'll do anything.
Sam will do it for me.
What were we talking about? There's loads of topics to get in touch with if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I quite fancy having a chat about that. We're talking about body doubles. Did you know that Boris Yeltsin had a body double for a long time?
Yeah.
Knew that?
No,
you knew
I didn't.
That. You said yes, and you're as if you're like, yep, knew that.
No, I wasn't sure about Yeltsin.
Adolf Hitler Adolf Hitler's double was called Gustav Weller.
Yeah, I think I'm happy about that.
Well, no, I don't know. Just I don't know. Do you think they had to have one of his
what
cut off?
Oh, because they used to sing that song.
Yeah.
Da da.
Just a thought.
Maybe.
But it's quite famous. Saddam Hussein had a lot of body doubles.
I thought you were going to say a lot of balls.
No. I think he just had the requisite
the
double.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Osama bin Laden had a few as well. There's a guy that owns a bar in San Francisco who looks the spitting image of Osama bin Laden.
There's so many bin Ladens out there.
Do you think, if you're in Afghanistan and you realise at the time that you look like Osama bin Laden...
Would you put yourself up for the body?
Well, you'd kind of... Would you not cut an ear off or something just so they wouldn't use you?
Yeah,
because chances are you wouldn't last long.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't.
Eye patch.
It'd be well paid.
I don't think it would have been.
No.
I don't think he'd have been paid at all, to be honest.
No.
I don't think he'd have had any choice about it whatsoever. But if you're listening and you want to talk about fake Melania, I want to hear from you. 03444991000, we'll call you back. What else are we talking about? We're talking about debt. There was something else we're talking about.
Christmas lights, you wanted to talk about that.
Embarrassing.
No, we can't talk about that because it'll end up with a swear.
Good.
And we can't do that.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Pardon?
I'm allowed back in Panto now.
You're allowed back on.
Yeah, because I was out of Panto World for years because of that.
You got blacklisted because you swore at turning on the Christmas,
Christmas lights.
Don't say the word.
I'm not going to say it.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, I blame Up in Smoke. I was watching the Dr. Dre film video where they go and they do Up in Smoke and the rappers are on stage saying make some something noise.
Yeah.
And, you know,
You got up and said it.
I got up and said it.
In front of a load of 9-year-olds.
Preston Christmas light audience. It was late. They weren't 9. They were definitely 12. And
that will never stand up in court.
I lost the gig, and it's a lot of money. And anyway,
oh well, dark days.
Dark days are over.
Dark days are over. What else were we talking about? Let's have a listen to who's on the. Cass is in there. Say hello, Cass. We're going to get this out. I threw you. Yeah.
Hello,
Cass.
So we're talking about debt.
Yeah, and bets.
And bets. Oh, bets. That was it.
The dude in America on Twitter.
What was that?
He told the local police force that he would hand himself in.
Yes! That was it. Check this out for a story.
It's been retweeted.
Because, you know, I mean, you swearing in front of the 9 or 12 year olds, whatever you want to say, is a bit of a daft thing to do.
I wasn't swearing at them. I was just saying, like, make some noise, you know.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. check this out.
So I regret it. I apologise.
No, you can stop apologising now.
It's enough now.
You've paid for it.
Yeah, a lot of money.
But check this out. You thought that was daft.
Yeah.
There's a guy, Michael Zadel. He's 21.
Zadel. Jewish?
Yeah. I don't know his, I don't know his persuasion. Zadel. His trousers are quite baggy. I can't tell.
Love it.
He was on the run from police.
Of course he was.
In America.
Standard.
In Detroit.
Yeah.
And he was mocking them. Right? So he got in touch with them on the socials and said, yeah, I'm not worried about this. If your next post gets 1,000 shares, I'll turn myself in along with 12 donuts.
Wow.
And that's a promise. And I'll pick up every piece of litter around all your public schools. Let's see if you can get those shares. The police were just like, well, okay, this
Let's
is red.
A guy.
Got the shares.
Wow!
Got the shares. He got
The donuts?
He said 1,000 times. He got shared 4,000 times.
Whoa.
And you know what? Michael may have been on the run from the police, may have been a bit of a wrong'un, is a man of his word.
Yeah.
Tipped up to the police station.
Well done.
With a dozen donuts and a bagel for good measure.
Yeah.
My man.
Smoked salmon.
He taunted them on Facebook.
Cream
everything.
Cheese.
Would you have done that? How many likes would you have asked for before you turned in yourself? I don't know what he was done for.
10K. It's got to be 10K at least.
God, I missed that. What was that? I've got 20 seconds. No, he got longer than that, surely. Oh, no, not his sentence. My 20 seconds.
I don't know. I don't know if I, you know, I don't need to turn myself in.
You don't need to turn yourself in. You've not done anything wrong.
No,
the late night alternative with Jamie Eustace in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio with Time to Change. One in four of us will fight a mental health problem this year. Having a mate in your corner can make all the difference. It certainly can't it, Paul?
It definitely
Search
can.
Time to Change to find out more.
Yeah.
Talk Radio.
It's Jamie Eustace for Ian Lee. How are you doing? Let's get those calls in, please. We've got loads of stuff to talk about. 03444991000. I would love to take your calls. We're talking debt. We're talking Thor. We're talking the death of Stalin. We're talking fake Melania. We're talking tons of stuff. Give me a call. I'm right here, willing and very much able.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Jamie East, in for Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
God, I tell you what, Paul Dunan likes to chat, doesn't he? Hey, there's a lot of two-legged donkeys followed him out. Thanks very much, Paul. I love Paul. Hashtag big luff, I believe he says. Kyle, how you doing?
How you doing, Jamie?
Very good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. I've never heard you on the Virgin Show. This is brilliant.
Thank you very much, mate. Where are you from?
I'm from sunny Rochdale, but we don't talk about that because of Cyril Smith.
Oh, okay. Well, Lisa Stansfield's from Rochdale, so you can look. There's always every cloud.
She bizarrely, she drinks in my local pub, which
does
is performing Rochdale. She does, seriously, yeah, she does.
She was one of the only people I've ever heard of that became allergic to her own saliva.
Oh, I've never heard of that. I understand. Should I ask her and should I name check you? Should I say apparently?
Please do. It's a true fact. Look, people are looking at me going, what the hell are you talking about? Absolutely true. Cass, Max, Google Lisa Stansfield saliva right now. And I guarantee you will have your mind blown. Why do I know this? Because I used to run a celebrity gossip website. It was my job to know everything. But anyway, Kyle, you're not phoned up to talk about Lisa Stansfield's gob.
Well, there was a few things I was going to say. I had a Nick Nell story for you. I was going to talk about the worst purchase me and my mate ever bought. It's up to you.
Oh, mate, well, you know, I'll tell you what. Start with your second best and end with your best.
I'm learning. So the Nick Nell's one.
Do you want a soundtrack? Hold on a sec. Do you want a soundtrack? What kind of mood are you in?
Just a bit jolly.
A bit jolly. Okay, hold on a second. Wait. Okay, yeah, let's... Right, let's take that bed down a bit. And that's right. Go. Go, Kyle. It's all yours.
All right. I'll give it a go. So, I used to work... I can say this now, because I've left. I used to work for the prison service.
Okay.
And one of the guys I used to work with worked at Cardiff Prison. And the BBC were doing one of those... You know, they have a script programme every day where it's like Life Behind Bars.
Yes.
And Nick, and they would do it live, I think, 9:15 every sort of Monday to Friday.
So Nick Knowles in a prison?
Well, it was Nick Knowles, but he was the host of the programme. Oh. And he got to speak to my mate, who was the governor. And it was really weird. I said, what was it? So I don't even know why I asked him. I said, what was it like? Well, you know, Nick Knowles, what was it like? And he said, and I'm picking my words carefully for legal reasons.
Yeah.
He looked like he'd had a good night the night before on every single day.
Well, yeah, but he looks like that anyway. He's got a face that looks like it's been carved from granite.
Well, he looks lived in.
He does look lived in.
but apparently, he said when the cameras were on, it's like the old Father Ted joke, when the light went on, he was absolutely perfect, tie straight, not a word, no slurring, not that he did.
He's a pro.
Well, he's a pro.
That's, you know, you don't have a, you know, I mean, to give him his due, Nick's been in the business for, what, it must be 20-odd years now. Easy.
What, didn't he go to Australia and then come back?
Did he?
Well, yeah, I think he did. I've got this funny feeling, because I don't know why I know so many Nick Nell's facts. It's quite weird, really.
That fact's almost as random as my Lisa Stansfield spit one.
That's I wouldn't swap your nickname off for Lisa. Stansfield. I can know it now. Sorry, it's forward of me.
What was the program about? So it's prison. What in particular was that feature about? What was going on?
I think they did two prisons, and I think they did. So they did Greg Hall, which was a women's prison up in the Midlands.
Yeah.
And then this was Cardiff, and it was just talking about the pressure staff faced. It was a good few years. God, it'd be about 10 years ago now.
And what did you do for the prison service?
Many jobs in the 20 years I worked there. But I got to know this guy. We were on like a central team, and this guy worked at Cardiff Prison, and he came to join us, and that's why. Because it's funny, just before he joined us, he was actually he was interviewed on the TV program, and I thought, I saw you on the telly the other week. Is that you? And he's like, yeah, that was me. And he signed off bits of paper, and as we do.
Wow.
That's
a good story. That's a good one. And that was your second best story. So now we can get ready for your best story. This is going to be incredible, Kyle.
I'm worried now because I think the next two are a complete anti-climax.
No, mate. Be bold. Hold on a second. Different theme tune for this one. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. It's all yours.
The worst two things. So my, in the early days of getting the internet at work.
Yeah. Dial-up.
My mate bought on eBay, he bought a 99p Micro Machines Titanic, still in packaging.
A 99p Micro Machine, they're the tiny little cars, right?
Yeah, that's like the model of the Titanic, still, and he's still got it, because he rocks up at my house with the other week, going, we talked about this, I've still got it. 99p, cost free.
99p, still got it, how much is that worth now?
Apparently he checked. He did say this, and he was like, I've had a look for similar items of the same price when things had gone up, and it was still 99p.
Still 99p after all that time?
Not held its value, Jamie.
So, hang on a sec, it was a tiny little boat, but from a brand of cars?
Yeah, Micro Machines to Titanic, yeah.
But your wheel, did you have to put, was it Micro Machines, the ones that you had to pull back and then let go and then they shoot off?
No, but I can't remember what they were called.
Red Devils. No, I can't remember now either. Well, that's
it.
I must say, mate, I prefer the Nick Knowles story, I have to say.
I was going to say, the one that I bought was, I got suckered in.
Hot Wheels. Carry on.
Do you ever use Instagram?
I do use Instagram, yeah. Mainly for kind of food and kind of, bit poncy, really, but yes.
No, but you get these adverts when you're scrolling through your timeline. You know, items for sale.
Recommended
stuff. Do you get this on yours?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So stupidly, about 4 weeks ago, I bought they called it a silicone sponge.
Right.
And it's like, you never need to use another sponge. You can wash this and clean it and all that. Rubbish. £2 that was.
Is it one of the... I think I've seen this one. Is it the one where it's kind of lots of little bristles?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to just be able to rinse it out. What makes it so rubbish?
Well, it doesn't clean anything off. And it just doesn't do anything.
But it worked. You ordered that off Instagram with it being recommended to you, did you?
Yeah, I did. Like a moron. And it's completely pointless.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. What have you ever bought anything else off the internet? Did you ever buy a Slankit?
I've got a Slankit from when my ex-girlfriend was here, and she left it here. I wonder why. And bizarrely,
did you used to have Slankit times? Was it?
No.
Darling, tonight let's Netflix and Slankit.
There's no, nothing like that.
No.
No, well, I'm far happier watching Coronation Street.
That's why she left.
But, well, you know what I think it was. But I did buy, bizarrely, I bought two camouflage bandanas off eBay, off Chinese eBay last week for quid a piece.
You bought two camouflage bandanas off Chinese eBay? Is that Alibaba?
No, Chinese eBay. It's like anything where it says ships from Hong Kong.
Okay. They always screw me over, those ones, do, because you order it and then you realise you've just signed up for like £65 postage and then you're going to get collared on the customs on the way in as well.
Well, the mistake you make, if I may be bold, I was going to say, you need to buy camouflage bandanas, and you won't be hit with import duties, because it's about £2.
How will you know when they arrive?
Do you know what I didn't think? Well, I must admit, I was looking in the packet for a good half hour before I tipped it out and realised it was.
Kyle, may I be so bold?
Yeah.
Why the hell do you need camouflage bandanas?
I don't know.
Are you a wrestler?
Well, no. I'm nothing like a wrestler, but I bought it. It's very sad. I've been watching this Vietnam program on BBC Four.
Yeah.
And it's been really good. And for some reason, I bought a plain black one, thinking I could use it like an X-Scar for a bat. I don't even know why I bought that one.
What? It's 2017, Carl. You don't need an X-Scar. What's going on? What's the next scar for?
Well, I was a very weakly child, a very sickly child. So I thought if I did that, it might, you know, protect my neck.
Okay.
From the draft.
So you had the black neck scarf, and that wasn't enough. You needed to.
So I bought the black tube one, a buff, I believe it's called.
A snood.
It's like a snood, but you can start with a bandana. I'm not.
If it looks like a snood, feels like a snood, Kyle, you're wearing a camouflage snood.
Well, I know I look like a little worm with my face poking out of it when I wear it as a snood. But so I bought a camouflage, the tube one.
Yeah.
And then I bought like the actual, you know, like a traditional bandana.
Right. Okay. Like as if you were Dick Turpin.
Yeah, but then I can't. The only way that I can tie it is the way my nan used to tie a red scarf when she went shopping on a Thursday.
What, on your head?
So it's like a little pensioner with it tied under me neck.
Kyle, what's going on, mate? I mean, as if wearing a bandana wasn't bad enough, you're wearing it as if you're Hilda Ogden.
No, it does look like Hilda, I'll be honest with you.
Kyle, I don't know what to say about that.
Sorry, mate. The last thing I was going to say was I'm a massive fan of Robert Palmer, and I'm very upset. To take it full circle, I'm very upset with what Nick Knowles has done with every kind of people.
Well, no, you can't be. I mean, listen to this. He's taken what was a classic AOR kind of soul record from Robert Palmer. He's made it, turn it into one chord, one note, and how can you not like this? Meet what life's about. I mean, every
kind of people. You ain't my mother! Yes, I am!
Make the world go round.
Baby, baby!
Do you know what? I remember that, because was that on Pebble Mill at 1?
It was on Pebble Mill at 1. It's one of the greatest ever moments on British television. You know, if anyone like digs up any of those time capsules that get sent to Mars or whatever, there's going to be two clips on there. There'll be the Olympic 2012 opening ceremony that Danny Boyle did, and then there'll be Paul Shane on Pebble Mill.
Baby, baby!
Although, you know, he did record the, as a single, which sadly I've got, is he did actually record the Heidi High theme as a 7-inch.
Did he? How did the Heidi High theme go? I can't remember how it went now. I keep wanting to sing Bread.
No, that's like an Ian trick where you get me to sing and I sound like a right idiot.
No, that's not what I'm trying to get to at all. What was the... hang on, I've got a keyboard here. What was the pitch? What was... do we know what...
Well, if you're feeling lonely and da 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 da.
Does it go into? It's like a 12-bar blues kind of thing. You can sing the words. Don't be shy.
I can't think of them now. I'm talking to you. I'm nervous.
Go. Oh, someone's put it on. Go, go, go to the Holiday Rock.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
That's a good tune. Is it as good as Bread's theme tune, which is actually the best theme tune ever made?
Which is, the Bread as in the Carl Owen one?
Yeah. Ooh, gotta get up, gotta get up. Well then, shout, buy it, sell it, the word's getting out. That one.
I quite like the best theme tune ever, though. It's got to be Rent-A-Girl by Michael Stanifus.
I can't remember that one either. Oh. Was it good?
Brilliant, great one.
Oh, man. Carl, it's been lovely to talk to you.
And you, sir. Lovely, brilliant.
If I come on again, if they let me on again, will you call again?
I'd absolutely love to. Thank you.
Mate, thank you so much. That's Kyle. Kyle from Rochdale. He's about to go and have a pint with Lisa Stansfield, if she can stand the taste of her own saliva nowadays. It's Jamie East on Talk Radio. In for Ian Lee. Award-winning Ian Lee. You can call in 03444991000 and we will call you right back. I'd love to hear from you. This is the Nate Late Night Alternative with Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio with Time to Change.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? I'm in for Ian Lee. Ian Lee has won an award. He's an award-winning man now. He's up in Leeds at the ARIA Awards. But that's why I'm here. Thank you very much for having me. You lot have been very kind, I must say. And it's been very nice to meet you all. I'm only used to doing kind of like music radio, so this is a bit of a learning curve, I have to say. But I'm enjoying myself. Really, really enjoying it. There's a green button in front of me saying the American guy. Hey, American guy. American guy.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. Wow, you
can
sound...
Can you hear me?
I can. You sound like you're like a professional voiceover guy.
Oh, brought to you by... No, not really. Maybe sometimes. Yeah, I'm a guy who lives in America, and that's why I'm the American guy. I was interested in... First, I was interested in sort of commenting on this show, because he's obviously won an award now.
Yeah.
And they are really going... Yeah, because he goes from the profound to the profane. The other night I was listening, and he had Herb Alpert from Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, which, by the way, I think was all Herb Alpert. I think he just played all the instruments. So there really was no Tijuana Brass. He just did it all. And then he went from that to like prepubescent 12-year-old boys trying to curse on the air. So
yeah.
Profound to the profane.
Oh, I heard that. No, like, I did hear that. Yes. Like, I was watching on Periscope at the time.
Yeah, it's like, you know what it is? It's like watching PBS. I guess you guys have, you know, the BBC. It's like watching the BBC,
yeah.
And then you turn and it's like wrestling or a monster truck pole.
Yeah.
He covers the whole gamut. So I think that maybe is what it takes to win an award in the UK. I don't know.
Well, that's,
I don't know. But all the 12-year-olds are not calling you for some reason, and I think that's a good thing.
Actually. Well, exactly. I'm a father of four. They wouldn't get much sway with me. I've got 12-year-olds. I've got too many 12-year-olds. But that is Ian's knack, and it's not just a case of choosing to go from the profound to the profane. It's being able to do so as well as he does. That is why he is...
Right.
That's why
I was also telling your screener, the job that I want is not Ian's job, but he's got a female... I mean, I only have heard the show a couple of times. I just was kind of bopping around the internet, and I found his show.
Yeah.
He's got a woman who's sort of his co-host, as you say, his co-presenter.
Yeah, Catherine.
And she literally... She must say 10 words the entire show. So however many hours. He's on like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so she might average maybe 3 words per hour. So whatever she makes... per word, she's a genius. I want her job.
Well, she produces him as well. She has to, you know, Ian is...
Ah, that's what it is.
Yeah, you know, you have to... Ian's like a tiger on a leash. You have to kind of, you have to rein him in and let him go. And that's where Kath is perfect at it. So it's not what she says, it's what she doesn't say that earns
her
money. Yeah.
Well, actually, he's like a doddering git, and she has an artificial intelligence program, and it straightens him out. So he actually sounds like he's coherent on the air. So that's pretty good.
It is pretty well. You know what? It seems to be working. They work very well together.
Well, they won the award, right? And there's you and me who are going home to ramen noodles on a regular basis. I did want to comment on the Melania because, you know, we're in the thick of things here.
Yes. Yes.
All you have is Theresa May. I mean, you have Theresa May.
She's enough.
Theresa May is stodgy, but she puts words together into sentences. And, you know, besides that one little clip where she's talking about Brexit and the letters on the back of the wall are falling apart, I thought that was staged, but apparently that was real. What am I hearing in the background?
I'm just playing piano to you. You carry on. You carry on. I'm just playing some songs. You carry on. I'm just giving you like I'm pretending that we're
rant.
In. Well, you're kind of American. It's late at night, and we could be in some kind of speakeasy where we're drinking bourbon. So I'm just gonna.
And don't put your hand on my knee. I'm just saying. I know you're a father of several. I'm just not going that way. So in any case, what I was saying is your leader actually, you know, puts words together coherently in sentences, and ours is a doddering fool who is trying to provoke crazy dictators into a nuclear war, which is going to affect you guys anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. But what I really want to know is what I'm obsessed about. Is she a body double or not?
Oh, come on. Come on. I mean, I think the interesting subject more is that she is spearheading things like, you know, anti-cyberbullying, and look what her husband does. I mean, it is just, it's comedy.
Is she, though? Is she spearheading? I don't know.
Yeah.
How can she spearhead anti-cyber?
She does.
Well, why don't she just start with her husband
start? Whatever. What do first ladies really do? They have, you know, they do gardens and they go and talk.
Well,
to
Michelle
kids.
Obama did the and whole school dinner thing, the child obesity program.
Yeah.
But what have the Romans ever done for us?
Well, she's trying to do, you know, socially redeeming things, and her husband is, as of today, and I don't know if you're watching the news, he's saying horrific things to people who, to wives, military wives whose husbands were killed in battle. So,
well, exactly. Well, if she's not a robot, she should blooming well get stuck into him. She's doing anti-cyber bullying. She can start off with him. For goodness sake.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's the comedy of it, right? I mean, she's spearheading this thing, and there's her husband doing what he does. I still think she should win the Purple Heart because she has to have sex with him on a regular basis. So,
well, we don't know that for a fact, though, do we? They've only had one child. It might have just been that once.
No, and you know what? I don't want the video. I don't want to see Donald's wide white rump on the camera. No, it's nothing. I don't even, you know what? I don't even think he can. I don't know.
Wide white rump is also the name of my second album.
That's very good. Well, you're the guy who spins on Virgin, which, by the way, we can't even get here in the U.S. because they block it if your ID shows that you're in the U.S. So I can't even listen to you doing your spin magic. You can't even call it spinning anymore, right? Because it's really just digital files. So you're really just pressing a button. You're pressing play, not
mate,
spinning anymore.
Mate, I'm not
anyway,
even doing it. Yes. Mate, to be frank, I'm not even doing that. Not even doing that. It's all automatic. It's all automatic.
I think I maybe want your job even more than the producer job who says three words on the air with Ian. Oh, by the way, I think the word would be, for his fans, would be Ianites. Ianites,
yes.
Ian fans.
Oh, okay, yeah. We were looking for something to call Ianites. Mine are the Eastettes.
Yeah. That was it. That actually was what hooked me in to call
Fine.
You.
Well, thank you. Like, the Ianites, I like that.
I think that would work.
Oh, the Ianites. Perfect. Like, a bit like Desmond Decker. The American guy, I don't know your name, but I like the cut of your jibe. Are you going to watch The Death of Stalin?
Am I going to watch the what?
The Death of Stalin. It's a film.
What? I heard about it. Is it something I need to watch?
It's really good.
I wasn't planning on it.
No, go and see it.
Oh, you're a film. That's right. You're a film critic.
I am a film critic. Yes, I'd fully advise you go and see that. It's really good. I'm gonna god awful segue was because I've now got an interview with Jason Isaacs. You know Jason Isaacs with the Lucius Malfoy from Harry Potter. Well, he also does.
That's a pretty good impression. I haven't even heard the guy, but I feel like I know him now, and I don't even know if I want to. I'm actually scared to listen.
Well,
but I will. And how do I get? Is the film in like limited release? Is it in?
No,
the
no,
US,
it's gonna be. It's gonna
to get it
mate,
online,
mate. It's up for Oscars. It'll get some awards. It's fantastic. It's as good, if not better, than Veep, The Thick of It, In the Loop, all of those kind of things. The American guy. Thank you so much. I hope I get asked back so that I can speak to you again because you've got a lovely, very soothing voice. It's like treacle that I'm gently massaging. It's like Vicks Vapor Rub that I'm massaging into my chest. Here's Jason Isaacs talking about The Death of Stalin. Jason Isaacs, how the devil are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I've spent a day talking about myself. As my wife, who used to make documentaries, says, people have an infinite capacity to find themselves interesting.
It is a wonderful thing to talk about, isn't it? Is it the easiest thing to talk about or the hardest, do you think?
Well, when I'm talking about a film that I love, I'm incredibly happy with, and I've seen it kind of kill audiences. When you're selling a film that's rubbish that no one likes, it's a little bit harder.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So The Death of Stalin is, I mean, it's not a stretch to say it's the comedy of the year, certainly. It's a fantastic...
Well, you could say that. I can't possibly comment.
It's just absurd. I think it's one of is the word that I keep coming back to when talking about it.
Well, one of the mad things about it, I mean, yes, it's hysterically funny. It's from Amanda Iannucci, who, you know, if you liked The Thick of It or In the Loop and Veep. Actually, if you didn't like them, what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
I should say. But one of the most absurd things about it is the things that are the most hysterical, most farcical and insane are all true.
Yeah.
So I rushed off to the internet when Amanda said, you know, most of it's based on truth. And I started looking it up. It turns out that all these insane things that happen in the film really happened when Stalin died.
Because it's all about the protocol. It's about kind of people jostling for position and he's in a circle. It's just
stabbing each other in the front, back and sides to try and take power. And how terrified they were of his kind of insane dictatorship. I mean, he's the biggest mass murderer of the last hundreds of years. Which is obviously ripe material for comedy.
Yeah.
Luckily, Amanda is the guy who knows how to walk that tightrope. But yeah, there's the things that took place around him were not only surreal and funny, but there are parallels everywhere you look. So when we were shooting it, Brexit had just happened.
Yeah.
The Brexit vote, and David Cameron had just resigned. And I went to France to take part in the commemoration of the Battle of the Somme, and I got to talk to David Cameron, and he said, what are you doing? And I told him what the story was. He went, it sounds like you've had the cameras in Downing Street.
Yeah.
But it's also true of Trump's White House and anywhere else.
Yeah, there are parallels everywhere all the way throughout it. How was it pitched to you? How does a film like that get pitched to you?
Well, first of all, they said Amanda Iannucci sent a script with an offer attached, and I thought, that's a terrible mistake. He must have meant Jason Statham or Jason Bateman or something, because I'm not known for comedy. And I said, just say yes.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you might want to read it first. And I opened this envelope, and I thought a couple of things. I thought they made a terrible mistake offering it to me, because it's very, very funny, and all I can do is ruin it. And I can't believe that I'm going to get to work with these people. There came with a little cast list and from Amanda, and I looked at it, and it's just wall-to-wall comedy gods everywhere you look.
You say you're not known for comedy, and it's true of a few of the actors in there as well. You know, Rupert Friend, who does
how hilarious is Rupert Friend?
Who does an amazing job of
the
sort of
style. He reminded me of Gene Wilder. You know, that slightly mad look.
Yeah, and Young Frankenstein.
Mad kind of thousand-yard stare he's got in it, but who knew he could do comedy? Yeah. But Jeffrey Tambor's in it, who I kind of worship.
Yeah.
Michael Palin, who obviously is the Mount Rushmore of comedians, Paul Whitehouse, and then the Simon Russell Beale, who is our country's greatest Shakespearean actor, one of the great leading actors on stage, who just, you know, anchors the entire thing. But then Andrea Riseborough is funny as hell, and she played Thatcher she's well known for doing that. So everywhere you look, Paddy Considine, who's also known for very serious films.
Oh, he does a great... He plays a studio engineer in...
That all happens. So the film starts with
this. So this actually happened?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a big live classical music concert, and Stalin phones said, I'd like to have a recording, and they hadn't pressed record. So we ran out, and he got all these people back, and he got a conductor out of bed. They all thought at that time, if any time you incurred Stalin's displeasure, you and everyone you know died.
You're on the list. Yeah.
So they're all sitting there in their pyjamas, re-recording it, terrified they're going to be killed, because Stalin will find out that it was a recreation of the concert instead.
Oh,
and that actually happened.
It's a wonderful film. How much of it is improvised and how much of it is actually scripted? How does Amondo like to work?
Well, I'm aware that he'll be listening. He's not just a comedy god, he's omnipotent. And I need to tell you that it's 99.9% scripted.
Oh, wow.
His skill is to make it look improvised. He walks around with a couple of people, the other writers, the brilliant writers, alongside him with yellow legal pads. And if he doesn't think it's quite working, he huddles and says, we need another insult about schoolgirls. And they'll come up with 100... I mean, it's a filthy film. Every other word is something I can't say on the radio. And it's sick and twisted and nasty, but... they have sick, twisted, and nasty brains, luckily. And if you've got a contribution to make, it better be better than he's coming up with his writers.
Yes.
So it's a high bar. But there's a little bit of improvisation.
There's my favourite moment, which people will go and see. I can't remember if you're in the scene or not. Which must have been an absolute fluke. Is where Rupert Friend is on the floor in a frenzy and actually manages to spit on his own forehead.
He did a lot of practice. That was in the script.
He
spits in the air and it lands back on his face.
Oh man, that's amazing.
A lot of practice, but it's not CGI phlegm. It's Rupert's own phlegm.
It's a beautiful thing. I guess one of the most disarming parts of the film, and also one of the genius parts, is the fact that nearly everybody is talking in their own accent.
Well, you know, it's weird that, because we just did a whole press day yesterday, and we were asked about it quite a lot. Why aren't you speaking with Russian accents? But, of course, if you're speaking with a Russian accent, you're speaking your second language. You're telling the audience these people are not speaking their own language, their natural dialects. And they came from all over the Soviet Union, and there were big class differences between them. Stalin was a very working-class guy. I'm playing someone, Zhukov, who was a very working-class guy, and some of the others weren't. And so most of them are using their own accents. I'm not. I read this thing, and for some odd reason, it seemed to me that it required Yorkshire. I think it's because Zhukov was so blunt.
Yeah.
He's the only one in real life who could speak the truth to Stalin.
Right.
And is completely unscared. They're all terrified all the time. And he controls the army, so he's not scared. So I phoned Armando and I went, listen, thanks so much for the offer. Can I play at Yorkshire? And he said, well, Buscemi's doing it Brooklyn. Paul Whitehouse is Cockney. Jeffrey Tambor's kind of effete Californian. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he did, because I couldn't hear it any other way.
Yeah. And your accent is brilliant in it. And you remind me so much of Finchy from The Office.
Interesting. Everybody's got someone. Some people say Sean Bean. In my head, I have Brian Glover.
Brian Glover. Yeah, yeah.
Because he's no nonsense. And also, the real guy, Zhukov, history was quite useful, telling me stuff that he'd done. But the pictures of him... He's got this barrel chest, and he's wearing, like, 7,000 medals in real life.
Proper.
So, and that told me more about him than anything else, that he was the guy that chose, first of all, and then everybody else around him followed suit. So you see these pictures of Russians at the time, and they're just weighed down with a ton of silverware. And so I asked him to build me a big chest in the jacket. And at first he didn't know what I was talking about. And I went, and they kept on padding it, and I go, more, more. Now I need shoulders, now I need arms. And I put on... the character, when I put the jacket on, this huge barrel chest, clinking with medals, and a Yorkshire accent, and then the job was done for me.
Yeah, you look like the eagle out of the Muppets.
That's not exactly what I was thinking of, but thanks very much.
Now, we'll come on to accents in a minute, but before we do, whilst you're here, I've got to talk to you about The OA, which was one of my favourite series of last year. Absolutely adored it.
It's hard to talk about without spoiling it.
Well, it
if
is.
If you haven't seen it,
yeah.
Your life... has a hole in it that should be filled with The OA.
I absolutely adored it.
It was brilliant, isn't it?
And it's coming back for season two.
Yeah.
Is Hap still around?
Did Hap even exist? I mean, one of the great things about The OA is you're not quite ever sure...
It throws a
...whether
bit of a
you're
curveball.
Watching something that really happened, or someone's telling you a story about something that didn't happen, or someone's mentally ill. Or,
yeah.
You know, the ground is very shaky underneath you. So they've written the second season. I had dinner with the writers a couple of weeks ago in Los Angeles, and they started telling me what was going on, and I felt like someone had slipped a roofie in my drink. It was so insane, the things they were telling me. But that's the genius of it.
Oh, fantastic.
You watch the first episode, you think, oh, I know what kind of show it is. And you watch episode two, and you think,
yeah,
no, it's something else. And then by episode three, you go, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Just take me.
And
take
it comes
me by
to
the
finale, it just throws you just... Oh.
The hardest thing to do when you're telling stories, I think, written or on camera, is to find a great ending.
Yeah.
If you find a great ending, you've got a story. If you find a great beginning and middle, it doesn't help you at all.
Yeah.
I thought the ending was so original and magnificent.
I loved it.
I'm glad you did, because...
No.
I'm embarrassed how enthusiastic I am about it, because I'm in it, but I'm only in one little part of it, and I hadn't seen the other part and barely read it.
Oh, cool.
So I watched it like a punter all the way through, 8 hours of it, and I was kind of devastated at the end.
Yeah.
I was kind of shaking and laughing and crying.
It's a great
I'd had a kind of almost religious experience.
But I can't wait for it to come back, and I hope you're part of it. Part of Death of Stalin and part of what you're so good at is accents.
Oh.
And I wondered if you were up for a challenge.
Oh, just woke up.
I have some lyrics here. These are the lyrics to a classic song by Green Day.
Okay.
And can you, let me just...
I saw Green Day. I shot a series called Brotherhood in Rhode Island.
Right.
And someone said, do you like American football? And I went, And they said, we've got tickets to the opening of the season. So I went to see the opening of the season. New England Patriots had won the Super Bowl. And Green Day was on. And then, I don't know, like Madonna and Led Zeppelin. Amazing bands. And then the rubbish game started. And I was thinking, bring the bands back. They were amazing.
It's a very strange sport, isn't it?
There's 5 seconds of action to 15 minutes of advertising Powerade.
A lot of faffing around. Can you hear this?
Yes, I heard that.
So what's going to happen is, I would like you to start in the voice of Zhukov.
Oh, okay.
When you hear the bell, I would like you to switch to Lucius.
Oh, I haven't done his voice for so long.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like 10 years since I've done his voice. Okay.
And then maybe you could either switch to a bit of Hap or Gabrielle Lorna. Whichever.
Lorca. Oh, Lorca.
Lorca, sorry.
Just hung up my phaser 2 days ago. For the season, yeah.
So
peeled the Leica off.
So we've got a verse, chorus. I'll ring the bell.
Oh, I thought you were going to send me more of a challenge. I thought you were going to go...
Well, you know...
Scouse, Geordie, Glasgow.
I was trying to do it while your publicist wasn't looking, because this is the point they normally go, oh, I don't remember agreeing to this. So let's try it. Okay, so whenever you're ready, if we start off as Zhukov.
Right. Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once. I'm one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone. No doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just... That's a terrible Lucy Smell. It was much better with
you,
a wig
no,
on.
No, you can do that. You
am
can.
I just stone?
So I went to a shrink.
I went to a shrink to analyse my dreams. She says it's lack of sex. It's bringing me down. I went to a whore. He said my life's a bore. So quit my whining because it's bringing her down. Sometimes I give myself the creeps.
And let's finish on Zhukov.
No, I'm going back to my natural accent philosophy.
Oh, okay, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Yeah.
Is that your natural accent?
Yeah, I was born talking like that. I had season tickets to Anfield for the first 12 years of my life.
Amazing.
We moved to London. Everybody made fun of me at school, so I went straight into Arthur Mallard. Went to school like that. You know, see you later, Mumby Bum, about 4 o'clock. I came home and said, listen, I'll be back tomorrow night. I'm not coming back till 5:30.
This is messing with my mind.
No, I mean, it's a social disease. I still do it. Sometimes we're out somewhere in a taxi and my kids lean over and they go, Dad, you're not Irish. What are you doing? It's embarrassing. But I get paid for it, so it's all right. I've turned it into a professional asset.
And could you do me the honour? I have a young son called Buzz, who is 9 years old, massive Potter fan.
Hello, Buzz.
Sometimes struggles to go to sleep at night. Sometimes a little bit naughty.
Oh.
I think maybe...
Buzz, do exactly what your father tells you. I'll be running to your house. And believe me, I'll put you to sleep for a very long time.
Wonderful. If that doesn't scare the bejesus out of him, nothing.
I think it was a little bit more Kenny Williams than Lucius Malfoy. In fact, when we did number four with Mike Newell, because Chris Columbus directed number two, Chamber of Secrets, and I did this very extreme voice for Lucius Malfoy. And when I came back to do number four, so I was in number three, Mike Newell was directing, the English director, and my first lines were something, Mr. Potter, such a pleasure to see you. And he came over and he went, little bit less Kenny Williams, darling. I'm not American.
Wonderful stuff. Jason, thank you so much. I hope you've cleared your diary in February, because I think you're going to be travelling around.
No, I don't know. They don't normally give awards to comedy films, but the award is listening to people laugh.
No, well, this is true. Jason, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing anything that you're in.
Oh, wonderful. I wish that was true.
Take care.
Thank you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jamie East, in Furry and Lee, on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Certainly do. It's Jamie here. How you doing? Ian Lee is now award-winning Ian Lee. It's the radio equivalent of a knighthood. He will be back tomorrow, though. Don't you worry about that. But I'm really enjoying this. Give me a call if you like. 03444991000. We will call you back. David, hi, mate.
Yes, I believe celebrations in order.
Sorry?
I believe celebrations in order.
Celebrations? What, for me or for Ian?
Who are my best mates, Ian and Kathleen?
Are they your best mates, are they? Yeah, they...
Oh, they sure are.
Do you phone in quite often? Are you one of Ian's regulars?
I prefer the name Friends, actually.
The name Friend? Oh, okay, fine. Then how long have you known Ian and Kath, then?
Just over a year, actually, Jamie.
Okay, have you ever met them?
Yeah, I haven't been in the studio. I was opposite where you're sat right now.
Have you really? Okay. Tell me a bit about that. What were you talking about?
Paranormal investigation, thank you.
Sorry?
Paranormal investigation.
Paranormal investigations?
Yeah, I'm a paranormal investigator. You know me. Yeah.
You're a paranormal investigator. Okay, tell me, what have you investigated? What paranormal things have you investigated?
Well, yeah, it's very complicated. I get entered by spirits, right? And then they speak through me, because they can't speak to each other, can they? Anyway, so they talk through me.
They talk. The aliens talk through you?
Not aliens, cheeky.
Oh, ghosts.
Ghosties.
Well, they use you as like a megaphone. They grab one end and speak. How does that work?
No, they enter up my bottom and they take control of my larynx.
Wow, so it's like almost like a spiritual human centipede.
Yeah, something like that. I have had a bit of a party because they've won the award, haven't they?
I missed that. You have to slow that bit down. What?
Sorry, I've had a bit of a party in my apartment, but because they've won, haven't they? For gold.
Who's won? Oh, they're, sorry, we're back on Ian and Kath now. Yeah. Right, okay.
Gold.
They did, as
always
in...
Always believe in your soul.
Absolutely. Soul.
You've got the power to know. Hey, where's bring back? Where's Danan gone?
Danan's gone. He's Danan's long gone.
He was having such a great time.
He was having a lovely time, wasn't he, Danan? He was very happy. Very happy. He's a lively fella.
Was he celebrating as well?
I think he had been celebrating. Do you know what? I think he had been too. What's your evening been like up until this point?
Well, I did my usual Facebook Live, Babcock's Half Hour on Facebook.
Okay, how does it go? What do you do in that?
Well, I just talk to my fans and all that.
Some of your fans are on Periscope now asking about Hoovers.
No, we don't talk about the Hoover.
Why is that?
Incident.
Look, I'm new to this game. This is my first time in talk radio. All I get given briefs on listeners. You're a friend of Ian and Cass. That makes you a friend of mine. I've been told to ask you about Hoovers.
Well, I'll say it in layman's terms.
Okay.
I got me willy stuck in an Hoover once.
Did you really?
Yep.
On air?
Yeah, it's on YouTube if you want to find it.
May I ask why your appendage was in a Hoover? Was it Henry or Henrietta?
No, it was. It was a vax, and it wasn't sexual before you ask.
What was it then? You can't have been trying to clean it.
I was doing a bit of naked late-night cleaning, as is my wont, and I tripped and fell, and thump, it went right in. And I rang Ian and Kath, and they helped me out a lot. A lot of people say that I was being a pervert, but I wasn't.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. If it's your Hoover, you can do what you want with it, as long as it doesn't void the warranty.
Well, it did more than void the warranty. But, so that was that. I bet a few of them are being cheeky, aren't they?
They're not being cheeky. I think that they're winding me up. They're laughing at me, not you. They're throwing me into the deep end, and they know that when Babcock's on the phone, you don't talk about the Hoover. I think, and I walked straight into that one, didn't I?
Right. Well, they're just trying to embarrass you and me. But I will give a shout out to all the hashtag cock lovers out there. If there's any, Kyle Rickard and Michelle.
Michelle, all of them, they're loving it. They're loving it. Hang on a sec. They're not just loving it, mate. They are. They're loving it like that. Did you hear that?
I heard it, yes. You've done a great job tonight, Jamie. Oh, you should be proud of yourself.
Thank you, David. That's very nice of you. Very nice of you. And if I come back on, I'll tell you what, you bring your vax and I'll bring Henry.
That sounds like a plan. Up the talk radio.
Absolutely. Big up the talk radio. Thank you, fella.
No, mate.
Is he gone? Is he still there? Is he gone? Is he all right? Is he okay? Does he need a hug? Fine. Is there anyone else on the line? Yeah, let's have someone else on the line. I like David Babcock. I hope he's all right. Did he really get his willy stuck up a Hoover? Genuinely, genuinely, genuinely. He was asking for help. So he phoned up Ian and Kath as his donger was stuck up a Hoover.
Yeah, and then got callers to phone in and ask for suggestions on how to get it out.
Well, turn it off. That's the start, surely.
Apparently it didn't work, and then everyone was saying, obviously, put it on reverse, so it's right. Blown, not
Yeah, you don't want that, do you?
No.
You do not want that. You listen to Jamie East on Talk Radio. I'm in for Ian Lee. I've only got 10 minutes left, but, keep calling in. Who's that on the line?
Hi, it's Bradley.
Who? Bradley?
Yeah, I called earlier. I called, an hour ago.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was flicking through telly and there's nothing on.
No, there wasn't. What were you watching? Did you watch Gordon Ramsay on cocaine?
There's so much rubbish on. There was, a thing about George Michael. Then there was a thing about the army.
Yeah.
Then there was a thing about politics. Then there was a thing about football. Then there was a thing about Simpsons. Then there was a thing about documentaries. Then there was stuff about celebrities. Then there was stuff about the news. Then there was stuff about Family Guy.
Yeah? Anything? Not much. Anything else?
Are you humouring me with that music?
No, I'm encouraging you with this music, Bradley. not humouring you.
That's what everyone does. They just humour me.
Well, no, I'm not humouring you. I'm enjoying it. I've never met you before.
Opposite.
Sorry?
Very opposite.
Is it? Okay, hold on a second. I'll turn that off. What about this one? Is that any better?
It sounds good.
Sorry, no. You carry on, Bradley. I'm back in the room. Back in the room.
Well,
so we got to Family Guy. So you've been through, you've been all the way through the Freeview EPG, and well, you decided to call me.
Yeah, I got to the end. I got to the. What's all this noise? This isn't what.
I think there's just a bit of interference. I apologise. Sorry.
Yes,
oh, sorry. I'm going to say it's all gone a bit wrong. Sorry.
You don't usually get this with Ian Lee.
No, you don't. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
So that was Gordon Ramsay. I don't think he was on cocaine. That was just the idiot sandwich one.
What it used to be, what was good, is there used to be some really good quiz shows on at night time.
Okay. You want a quiz?
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to play What the Fack?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, right, I'll tell you what, Max is on it. We'll have a little quiz game. Do you like it? What's your favourite kind of quiz?
One that isn't about sports.
No, I don't like sport either.
No.
What's your, in Trivial Pursuit, what's your favourite wedge of cake?
Victoria?
What, Victoria? No, Trivial Pursuit, you div.
Oh, sorry, you said my favourite type of cake.
No, in Trivial Pursuit, you know the slices of cake, the colour, because it says a lot about a person. The Trivial Pursuit.
Which one's the black one?
I don't think there was a black slice of cake.
That would be a forest gatto.
It would, yeah, you're right, with a Monchel cherries. Is that how you say it?
Sara Lee gatto.
Dairy Lee gatto?
Sara Lee.
Sara Lee, no, Sarah, isn't it? Is it Sarah or is it Sarah?
I don't know. Your wife's called Sarah, or is it Sarah?
My wife? How do you know what my wife's called?
Oh, I must have read about it in the newspaper.
What the hell? My wife is called Sarah. She's not with you now, is she?
No.
Right, shall we play a game?
Yes.
Right, let's play a quiz. It's not a sport game. It's very, very simple. It needs a bit of music, so... Hold on a second. Just to get the tension going, okay? Hold on a second.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got this. It's dead easy. I'm going to read out some facts, and you've got to tell me whether they're true or false. It's called What the Fack. Yeah?
So, yes or no?
Yeah. Well, true or false would be better. Play the game. Are you ready?
Yes. True.
Most printer ink cartridges contain enough raw cocaine to kill an adult male elephant. True or false?
What brand?
Epson.
I was thinking Epson too.
Well, that's why we've got this rapport going.
That's really strange that we're both thinking Epson.
Yeah, true or false?
I'm having some problems with my printer actually this week.
True or false?
True.
Wrong, it's false, don't be silly. The next one, the fourth most expensive liquid in the world to buy by the gallon is crab blood. Horseshoe crab blood cost $60,000 per gallon in 2016 and is used to test that a wide range of medical products are not contaminated. True or false?
Do you mind repeating the question?
Yes, I do. True or false? I'm up against the clock here, fella.
You're getting snooty.
I'm not getting snooty, I'm just getting rushed. It's been a long day.
I didn't hear you properly.
We'll try another one. Malaysia is called Malaysia because when the French tried to colonise the area, they literally called it bad, which is mal in French, and Asia, mal Asia. True or false?
True.
It was true. No, it's not. It's false. I'm joking. Of course it wasn't. Next one. In 2019, it's predicted that iPhone leads will outsell shatterproof rulers.
Give me an easy one.
That is an easy one. In 2019, it's predicted that iPhone leads will outsell shatterproof rulers. True or false?
True.
False! That is ridiculous. No one buys shatterproof rollers. Goodness me. It's been lovely to meet you. Will you call again if I ever get invited back?
Yes.
Yes?
Okay, nice to speak to you.
Yeah, nice to speak to you too. This is the Late Night Alternative with Jamie Easton for Ian Lee on Talk Radio for time for change. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully, I'll get invited back. Take care. Bye-bye.